you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your reaction. Thank you for inviting me here today. And,
Boogie.
You know, it's good to laugh. I know
Boogie.
We're going through troubled times right now, but
Boogie.
You got to laugh and
oh,
you got to smile
no.
and take your mind off, you know, things that are going on. So if I made you laugh or smile for the last half hour, it was all worthwhile. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
Wait till you hear what Sheryl Crow thinks are good solutions to the pollution problem of our world. One of my favorites is in the area of forest conservation, which we heavily rely on for oxygen. I propose a limitation be put on how many squares of toilet paper can be used in any one sitting. Now, I don't want to rob any law-abiding American of his or her God-given rights, but I think we are an industrious enough people that we can make it work with only...
Is this a funny phone call?
I don't know. I guess time will tell.
I mean, he's talking about toilet paper, and I take that extremely seriously.
Is this a Belcher call?
Yes, it is. Okay, thank you.
Good.
The first part was Rich Little killing.
Uh-huh.
Killing like he did on our show last week.
He gives all impressionists a good name.
Killing at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Okay, yeah. Back to the call in progress.
Only one square per restroom visit, except, of course, on those pesty occasions when two or three might be needed. Let me sneak one phone call in here. We're going to stay on this whole thing here, the Sheryl Crow, Mike Bloomberg deal, through the rest of this hour. But... Frank in New York City. Frank, what can you add to this?
I want to say that Sheryl Crow, this is not the first time that she's lost
Hello,
her mind
friend.
Completely. And she wants to limit one square of toilet paper per schmear, per use, per whatever.
Per schmear.
I want to say that, and I thought of this for Earth Day, go out and get one New York Times, one Sunday Times. You could put the toilet paper companies completely out of business for an entire year, and you could use the one Sunday Times for a year.
You're probably right, because you could
the 500 rolls of toilet paper
yeah,
that
you
Michael
could,
Bloomberg used.
You could just strip that off one at a time there, one little square, and you'd be all set.
Exactly.
The problem is the print comes off.
Well, see, the print comes off, but, I mean, look at the days when they used the Sears catalog before they invented glossy paper. I don't think people cared so much. And now we also know how sanitary Sheryl Crow is, first of all. And this Mayor Bloomberg thing quickly, they're already doing something similar to what he's proposing in Manassas, Virginia. They're calling it the Mike O'Mara tax, where if you're going to drive in using a car, you have to buy a Mike O'Mara a beer.
Oh, is that what it is? Thank you very much, Frank. We always enjoy our classiest of listeners. Frank certainly falls into that particular category. We will continue with all of this in just a little bit.
Thanks, somebody.
Shut up!
Buddy.
Mike Show. Hello!
Hi there.
And call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Dumbass. Dumbass. Dumbass.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
So good.
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Tell me about it.
Don't never ever trust Whitey.
I don't. Right. What not? What not? What not?
Uh-oh! Tango! Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Just a bunch of white trash.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Never get out. I don't know. That's a new one.
I don't know.
That's from The Sopranos last night.
I don't know.
Which one is that? I forgot.
That's the retarded guy.
Oh, that's right.
In the home where Junior is.
Junior's place.
Junior's I don't place. Know.
You're badly retarded.
Be warned. This is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room,
Don't let them disturb you.
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back. Yeah, it's the Don and Mike show.
The show is great.
I was trying it. It shows just begun. Just heard the phone number 877-365-3636. Let's take a call and then on with the Hello Don and Mike show.
Hey Don and Mike.
Hi.
Mike, was that the best weekend or what?
Oh yes it was, and I know what you're talking about, and I'm wearing a jersey today.
Awesome.
To profess my love for the Boston Red Sox. Oh, yes, you're talking about, of course, the Red Sox beating the dreaded Yankees.
Yes, sweeping them in Fenway Park. First time in 17 years. A delightful weekend for Red Sox fans. And
incidentally, what a nice kickoff to my weekend it was when I got just a taste of Sirius Mike during Sirius Red Sox time. I get home. It's Friday night, kicking back, waiting for my son to show up. He's making the drive from college. Having an adult beverage with my girl pal, watching the game on TV. I said, hey, why are they wearing those green jerseys? Not St. Patrick's Day. So I called Mike up. It was like 4-4.
Yeah, yeah.
The Red Sox were not losing.
I don't know if it was 4-4 or not, yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry. I'm embarrassed I did that.
I'm sorry I made that call.
I'm sorry you called me.
I'm a bad man.
I'm a bad caller.
I'm a bad man.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, you called me. The phone rings. I'd just gotten home and had the game on, fortunately, because you wanted to talk about the game.
Yeah, see, I wanted to. You didn't know. You were so short with me. You left me in tears.
I was short with you?
Oh, my God.
I was curt with you?
I went down a road.
I didn't even know.
I went down a road on a Post-it note. Serious Mike about my innocent green socks. Here's the call. I call him up and I go, hey, are you watching the game? Yes.
I was not. I'm never like that. You're like my boss.
No, come on, please. Oh, and thanks for categorizing it like that.
Sort of like, not exactly.
Anyway, no, you were very into the game. It was like there was no social qualities at all on your part. It was like, hello.
Maybe you thought I didn't want to linger, but I was comfortably sitting there talking to you. Linger? Longer.
No, it did not sound like it.
Well, really?
You know how fragile I am. Anyway.
I know you are.
I'm sitting there with my gigantic 80-ounce tumbler of vodka, and I got to call Mike. So I, you know. And that's all I have to do to call Mike.
And you're in. It's the bat phone.
It's just like
very secret code.
Mike.
Secret Romero.
There you go. Hello. I say, hey, you're watching the game? Yes.
Oh.
It was just like
that. No way.
It was as if.
I would say, yes.
No, you did.
Right. Okay.
You did.
All right.
It was the Red Sox tone of voice.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I'm certainly serious business.
Focus.
In my home.
I said, hey, I know that, you know, it's the middle of a big game and everything. I turn it on. Why are your boys wearing green shirts? Now, you didn't give like a...
No.
I was
delighted for the interest.
It was just a... And you said this, Charlie, I don't know. And now that is the nickname that we have for each other.
I really?
Yeah, you did.
I was even...
You went, Charlie, I don't know. And I said, okay, I just want to let you know I was watching the game. Okay, have a good weekend. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Meanwhile, I really didn't know the answer, though. I'd seen those green jerseys on St. Patrick's Day, but it wasn't St. Patrick's Day.
Next day, I get up and I read the newspaper. Red Sox beat Yankees wearing green jerseys.
And I didn't find that out until Monday.
For Red Auerbach, wow. Right?
Right.
For the Boston Celtics who died. And Janet said to me on Saturday morning, well, why don't you call Mike and tell him, you know, why they wore the green jerseys? And I said, no way!
Well, who called you this morning to tell you that?
That's right, you did.
I did, because that's the first time I read about it was this morning when I looked at my back issues of the Globe Online. I was reading about that. But so it's the Celtics colors. That's why they were wearing the green jerseys.
And from what I read in the paper,
they also had, like, the Celtics banners in a green monster.
Yeah, see, I'd come home after the game started, so I didn't know that they were doing that. But, boy, I must really get into a mode when I'm, because I was even, I thought it was a pleasant exchange.
I wasn't mad. Don't get me wrong, I wasn't mad.
The one thing you were fibbing around, I did not do the exhale. The exasperated exhale. There's no way.
Hold on. I
mean, I might have said. I don't know.
Did I try to pain, but to say it was not?
Yes.
At all the way.
It wasn't.
It was.
Oh, God.
But there was the tinge of. Maybe it was just an outward blow. It was just like you. No.
I had no idea.
I got the vibe. Oh, you're trying my patience now. Of all times, you're calling me now to make small talk.
I was delighted that you were watching the game. I was glad you were showing me interest. How long did you stay with it? Would you stay with it 5 minutes after that?
Until Law and Order came back.
I knew you wouldn't linger. You missed a beauty. You missed a true all-time beauty.
I stayed with it, and I'll tell you why. Because I had heard them say that A-Rod had exploded.
Yes.
And I know nothing would piss you off more than if he had, like, a walk-off to end.
He had a very good first game, but there was all sorts of great stuff. I mean, it was Red Sox-Yankees again, and, you know, it'll go back the other way, as it always does. I mean, they've won about as many as they've lost against the Yankees, but it's really, for the beginning of the season, it was just like playoff baseball. It was very, very exciting, and I got caught up in all the games, and I watched all of them, including those 8 o'clock games on Sunday night, which seemed to go till 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was fun. It was big fun all weekend. I would have been, you know, and I realized I could fake it and say that it doesn't affect my mood, but it affects my mood like during the game, the ups and the downs. I'd be in a totally crappy mood if I came in here and they'd lost.
That's why I thought it was safe to call you because it was 4-4.
Yes, it was. I must have just been into it. I was not even aware of that. Normally, I'm very sensitive, m'lady. I try to
my Lord,
do my very best to.
I got over it, but you owe me for like 3 boxes of Kleenex.
That is so bad. I'm sorry.
I'm such a faggot.
No, it was fun. It was a great week. It was a great weekend all around.
As it turns out, I ended up did watch most of the game and stayed up very late. My kid, as I think I mentioned on the show Friday, came home for the weekend. My son did from college down south. It's about an 8.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
He left at about 2. We expected him about 11 o'clock. About 9:15, phone rings. Hey, Dad. What's happening, son? Well, the transmission fluid light is on. The whatever light is on. The other light is on. I go, wait, great. Where are you? Durham, North Carolina.
Is this his vehicle?
It's his gal pal's car.
Ah, okay.
So they, at first, it's funny. I had just the best weekend with Bart. He is really, after all this time, he's finally grown up to be not only the young man that I've loved, the boy that I've loved, but really, you know, not a peer, but he's an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I could not be prouder of him. And it's nice to see him even start in a small way to have his testicles put in a jar because in some way the boy needs it. I mean, he needs to be brought back to earth just a little bit. He's lived out there on the edge for a long time.
Yep.
Meaning like when this car apparently, because I could hear his girlfriend in the background saying,
that's what I was hoping for.
But I heard her saying, tell your pop how it's making that grinding sound.
Oh, that's nice.
And I said, listen, you cats, don't like ruin a car because you're trying to make it home. And he said, Dad, we are still coming home. I will call you back later. Click. 2 seconds later, the phone rings. Sounds very resigned. Hey, Dad. Yeah, we're going to Raleigh. She knows some people in Raleigh. But like, so I hung up the phone and Janet said, what's going on? I said, well, it's good and that's bad. I mean, on one hand, I'm glad that he didn't drive in a car that was unsafe.
Right.
On the other hand, there's a chance that we may not see him this weekend, which is bad. But on the other hand, there's the fact that, well, at least there was someone sitting in the car with some power over him to make him do what was right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. They end up getting to Raleigh, and they find out that it's, I don't know what it is, a problem, something's leaking. They go to a gas station, it's fixed.
Good.
He calls and says, we're on our way again.
That night?
That night.
Oh, good.
Now, you know how it is when you're a parent, even when you have a grown kid, and he's 22.
You wait out.
We had thought that he was going to, the next call would be, we're in a hotel or in Durham, or we're with family. The next call was like at 12:15 going, hey, Dad, the car is working. We got it fixed. We'll see you when we get home.
So they're going to leave from Raleigh, Durham, and that's about four and a half hours.
Yep, so they arrived, I don't know, like around 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and they got in.
You can do that when you're younger. You can make that kind of a trip.
Yeah, and we just had the greatest weekend. We really did. We had fun. We talked. We laughed. We did all the crap that we do. We went to my sister-in-law's, Robin's, and we had a nice big family dinner, and everything went great with Janet and Bart and everybody else. And it was not until yesterday that the Bart that I knew came out a little bit.
Morning time?
How so?
Yeah. However, keep in mind, morning time slash equals Bart morning time. This was fascinating to watch it play out because for one time I was determined I was not going to get involved with this because he's got his responsible girlfriend there.
Right.
She's older than him.
Sure.
She's got her whatever degree she just got. She's got a goddamn future. You know what his future is, really? You know, using 6 squares of toilet paper a day. That's his future. Yeah. I mean, if you ask him his future plans,
yeah,
right? That's about as far ahead as he thinks.
Good for
you
him.
Know, just the next bowel movement ahead.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
So anyway, after we go to my sister-in-law's for dinner on Saturday night, which I mentioned is fabulous, we all get home at about midnight, and to my shock and surprise, he does not get in his car to go down to Georgetown to party with old friends. He
right.
says, we are going to stay in because we're tired.
Wow.
And like, wow.
Hey,
we are getting
there's some growing up right there.
We're going to bed, and I'm saying to Janet, I mean, really, wow, this is incredible. So then let's fast forward to Saturday morning, where it's now 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock.
Oh, hello.
12 noon. 12 noon, I finally decide I'm going to go downstairs and wake him up.
Give it a shot.
Well, as it turns out, I go downstairs, and again, I'm in that, even though I'm a progressive father, I'm in that whole, I don't want to see a girl in bed, so I go down, it's like, you know, hello, can I come in? Hello? And then I get a tap on my shoulder, and it's the girlfriend.
Oh.
And not only is she awake, she's dressed, and she tells me she's been up for an hour and a half, and she can't get him up.
Hey. Yeah, baby.
Oh, wow.
Baby.
Oh. Old habits die hard.
Try harder, baby.
Because the thought is they were going to leave by 12 noon at the latest, and he was not awake yet. So I went down into the whole thing with, you know, like it reminded me when he was back in school, you know, in little boy school. Come on. Everybody's waiting, having breakfast upstairs. He comes upstairs. We all have breakfast together. It's almost 1 o'clock.
Brunch.
He says, okay, I'm going to go down and get a little nap.
What?
Everybody said, okay, Bart,
yeah.
That's fine, thinking he was going to go downstairs and pack.
You thought he was kidding?
Everybody did.
Really?
Me, Janet, his girlfriend. The whole conversation at the table had been that they were leaving later than they had planned.
Right.
And Bart said, well, it was like 1:15. He said, as long as we hit the road by 2 o'clock,
uh-huh.
we'll be fine. And then he said, he got up from the table and he said, well, I guess I'll go take a nap. And everybody went, okay, and went back to whatever we were discussing. He gets to be about 2:15. And
he's nowhere to be found?
And we're still sitting at the table talking, and I go, oh, my goodness, it's been 25 minutes. She goes downstairs, and guess what? He's a man of his word. He's gone back to sleep.
Oh, my God.
So she gets him up.
What time do you think? Well, they stay up late when they got home, right? They stayed up late?
I have no idea.
Right.
All I know is that he's sleeping again. And I'll keep in mind, he can sleep in the car for this 8-hour ride home. She drives as well. So he doesn't have to sleep at this moment.
Not now.
So now he's up. And he's up and he's embarrassed because, you know, it's not just me that he's doing this in front of Janet and his girlfriend, who he's very fond of. So then he says, okay, here's the new plan. I'm sticking to this plan. The latest we're out of here, absolutely, is 3 p.m., and I'm going to shoot for 2:30. I'm going to go get cleaned up right now. Everybody just, that's it. Please, let's not have a discussion about
this.
And I said, cool. I went in the other room. And at that point, I said to Jan, I said, this is where I'm disengaging from this conversation. Meanwhile, as the Lakers game starts, I was sat outside to read for a while. And it's like, oh, 3 o'clock, Lakers coming on.
You go in, no sign. No sign.
Either one of them?
No, either one of them. Oh. About 3:30, I stick my hat outside. The first quarter's over in this game. Stick my hat outside my cave, go into the kitchen area. There's Janet sitting there chatting with his girlfriend.
Cool.
And I said, what's the deal? And she said, if he's sleeping, I want to tell you, again, I'm going to go Alec Baldwin on him. And she says, he's not sleeping. I go downstairs. He's reading a book.
Good for him.
He's
just doesn't feel like hitting the road yet.
He's still wearing his pajamas or whatever they are that he's got in his, like, his Zubu pants.
Nothing is really packed.
I think
it's a quick trip. I mean, he probably didn't have to unpack that much.
All he's got to do is throw some stuff into his backpack.
Right.
But my point is that she's upstairs with her bag neatly packed, sitting by the door. We're up there making small talk with her. I go downstairs. He's lounging on his bed like he's 12, reading a book. And he goes, hey, Pop, what's happening? And I said, I can't believe you're down here reading. He said, yeah, I found this book. It was a great book. I said, Bart, it is about this time. I said, it's 3:20. He said, okay, I'll get ready. Then I went upstairs and I said to both of the young ladies, both Janet and his girlfriend, he was reading a book. About a half an hour later, his girlfriend comes in. It's 10 till 4. She says, I just went downstairs, and all he's doing is watching TV.
Wow.
The noon departure. Where did he get this? You're Mr. Depart on Time.
I know exactly. No, he does not have this gene that I have. But, and trust me, he's sat through all these lectures, and he even sat through the mini lecture about how, you know, the rule is be 5 minutes early always. You know.
He missed that one somewhere along the line.
Totally wasted on him. And it wasn't until they left, but this is such a great ending, that I really found out what he was shooting for. So now it's 10 minutes until 4 o'clock. And she says to him, listen, really, we've got to hit the road now, big boy, or whatever she called him. He says, okay. He goes downstairs, and he is still wearing his pajamas sure. when he comes out to get into the car. And she says to him, this is all right in front of Janet and I. It's lighthearted. She says, you're wearing your pajamas. He says, it doesn't matter. She said, weren't you going to take a shower? He said, you gave me no time to take a shower.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Whoa.
So he goes in, and as he goes back downstairs, Janet says, I thought they were leaving. I said, no, Bart's going to take a shower. Now it's 4:15. 4:20, the absolute moment that they pulled away was 4:22. Uh-huh. Now, this is important to note because the story does not...
So he takes a quick shower.
Yeah, of course. 4:22, as they drive away, and this is not done with any malice, as they drive away, Janet and I go, whoo! Because, you know, it's like pushing a cow out of a barn to get this freaking kid to leave.
That's pretty amazing for a 12 o'clock departure.
So it's 4:22, and I did say to her, don't celebrate too early. Now, I said that kiddingly. Hello, I'm kidding.
Now, did you say that based in any kind of fact or history or anything like that?
No. So Janet and I go back to, we fix what we were doing outside, the little sitting area that you don't care about by the patio. We're moving stuff around. I go back in. I turn the Lakers game back on. 5:15, phone rings, and I notice it's Bart Sell. And I said to Jan, you know what? I bet they're caught on 95. I bet they're caught in traffic. He says, hey, Pop, like, what's happening? He said, would you go down to my room and see if I left my wallet down there? And I said, sure, buddy boy. Put the phone on hold. Sitting right there.
There it is.
Like a Willy Wonka candy bar wrapped in gold.
So he waited long enough where he had to rush.
There it is. He says, because he's so stupid. I say that sarcastically. What do you think I should do? I said, well, I think if you're planning on driving at all or living your life, you should probably turn the car around and come home and get your wallet.
Oh, my God.
And he says,
How long had this been before?
They've been gone nearly an hour. 55 minutes.
Just enough to really get on the road.
Get started. So they turn around.
She must be a patient lady, this
She's a nice girl. Mm-hmm. They turn around, and meanwhile, what we've done is we have put his wallet right by the little table when you walk in, like everybody has, you know, where you put your keys and stuff when you walk in someone's house. It's right there as you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So all I get, like, at about 6 o'clock is a real fast, hey, Pop, what's happening? We got to go. And I said, okay, love you, drive safe. God, you're like 6 hours late. It's about 10 minutes later, and I go into the other room, and Janet is still talking to his girlfriend. And I said, where's the boy? He's downstairs. He forgot some other stuff he wanted to bring home. And then his girlfriend told me the plot that he really wanted to spring was that what he really wanted to do was just stay and leave this morning at 2 a.m. and just drive straight through from 2 a.m. till 10 a.m.
for his first class?
To make it to class by 11 this morning. And I don't think he was doing a lot of this consciously.
Did you veto that plan?
Of course I did. I said, you're here. This is not Chateau Relaxo. You know, the door now says closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back home.
Go out into the world.
So I think he had a pretty nice ride all the way back.
Did you sense any tension as they were driving away?
I said that'll test the relationship.
Yeah.
And listen, I love my son more than anything. I think he is truly the greatest, heart of gold, a great kid. But this is who he truly is.
That's interesting. Well, you know, the moral of that story is don't say 12 noon.
Yeah, please.
And don't forget your wallet.
What time are you leaving tomorrow? Oh, when we get around to it.
So it ended up being the 6 p.m. departure time. Any guess on the arrival time in South Carolina?
4:30 in the morning.
6:15.
Oh, my God. They hit a little traffic, did they?
They stopped to have breakfast.
Of course.
Because
you get hungry.
You know, at that point, what time, actually?
I guess after midnight, between midnight and 6 a.m.
I don't know.
This kills you.
It does.
I know. Man.
It truly does.
4:20 blackbirds baked in a pie. I always think of that guy from Something About Mary.
I mean, I am positive that he, like everybody in college, can pull it together. And
he did have classes this morning.
Yeah, and I called him this morning, not to bust his balls, but just to check. I called at about, I don't know, 10:15, and I got the hello. I said, hey, what's happening? Hey, good morning, Bob. Yeah, I'm up. I got class at 11. I'll call you later.
Did she have any classes?
She has no class.
She has no class. Call me when you have no class.
There is a gene that you have when you're in college, and it makes you do stuff like that. One that I remember
it's
the most,
all-nighter, right?
Yeah, the one I remember the most is, you know, at this point, it makes more sense to just stay up all night.
Yeah.
And this is all-time stupid idea.
Oh, because you will always eventually pay for it.
And he is always living that. That's a debt he'll never be able to pay back.
Right.
Once you lose that time. And I'm nutty about time that we had. A mini stroke. The day before, we had this thing set up to be at my sister-in-law's house Saturday night at 6. There was nothing fancy, just family. You know, her kids, Bart, Janet, nothing fancy. I even said to Janet, we're not going to be on my rigid Lombardi time. I said, really, we should leave at about 5:20.
Mm-hmm.
That'll put us there a little after 6. And then I even went there later, like such a great concession on my part. But I'm obsessed with time and being on time. I said,
it's hard to be in this business and not be obsessed with time.
I said to Janet at 3:20 yesterday afternoon, I said, you've got a little more than 2 hours to get yourself ready. She's making a cake as well.
Fair enough.
And I think that because we've had such a long day with everybody getting Bart situated and everything, it was before the whole debacle of him leaving.
What time did he get there on Saturday morning?
4 a.m. So both Janet and I are operating like zero sleep.
Upside down.
Just an insane schedule.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like if raccoons could drive cars.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this schedule would be.
So
if possums were driving, you know?
Anyway, poor Janet, I go to her and I say, at one point, it's like 3:20, and I say, you know what? I think really they're family. We don't have to be there on the mark at 6. Why don't we plan on leaving at 5:30? And by there, I think I've made the greatest concession in the world.
10 minutes.
And I've gone downstairs.
Does that mean you get there at about 6:10?
Yeah. And I've gone downstairs and I've said to my son, new time that we're leaving, 5:30. Now, of course, he's too cool for school. He can't drive in the same car with Dad. So they got to drive behind us. But either way, I'm okay with this.
Is he in his pajamas at that point?
No, this was Saturday when he was still clothed.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Still wearing the clothes from the drive-in.
Did they sack out at all during the day on Saturday?
Oh, no. Well, see, the thing is when, they arrived at about 4 a.m. and they slept till like noon or 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So,
right.
So they got a good 8 hours of sleep, you know, when most people are up and functioning.
Right.
So then it got to be 5:40, 5:45. Janet is still running around trying to frost the cake. She's saying to me stuff like, I'm sorry we're running late. I still got to feed the dogs, blah, blah, blah. Now, keep in mind, I'm not doing anything to help. I'm not saying like, gee, can I help with the dogs?
No, you're doing what you do best like I do. You're sitting there seething.
Which, and I easily could have,
that's his job.
I easily could have said, Let me help you out and feed the dogs. And most times I would. But there was a part of my brain saying, woman, I told you repeatedly. I gave you over 2 hours notice.
I said, woman!
Now you made me terribly late. So what I ended up doing was, and the poor Jen was just standing in the kitchen, and she's trying to frost this cake as fast as she can.
Right.
She said, I know how you are about time. And I said, you know what, just forget it. Call Robin, like 5:45. She goes, hello. I say, hey, it's me. Well, we're late. Just like that. I see Janet's face just kind of crack a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it's a combination, Robin.
Well, your family has expectations of you usually being pretty punctual.
Well, they don't really care. They don't really care.
Yeah, on the other end, they don't care. True. Especially if there are other family members coming. Everybody's going to arrive at their own time.
They don't care, but I'm nutty about that. So I said, we are going to be leaving shortly, and I estimate that our time of arrival will be about 30 minutes later than you requested. I'm really sorry about that. She said, okay, no problem. I go back inside, and to my eyes, everybody is still moving
at super slow motion.
Mm-hmm. I go downstairs, and little Lord Fauntleroy is down there with Paris Hilton. Those are the names that I was just referring to his girlfriend at this point.
All right.
And they're lounged on the couch, watching some Die Hard movie or something, and I go down and go, hey, children, up, 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 time to go. And he goes, hey, Pop, what's the rush? You've not even left yet. And I go upstairs. And
Is he giving you, like, are you supposed to lead him by about 15 minutes?
What he desperately does not want to arrive at exactly the same time.
Right.
He says, it's part of his plan, he says, I want to leave 5 minutes after you leave. I don't question it because I was a kid. I said plenty of stupid stuff to my parents like that. So I was like, whatever. I said, but really, Barty, at this point, we're running terribly late. It would be nice if you went over there now to kind of represent the fact. I mean, I'm putting so much pressure on the fact that
has it ever been such a problem where you've lied about departure times? Have you ever done that?
No.
I had someone in my past that I occasionally would lie about departure times because it was so bad that you would actually go by a half an hour. You've done it too, Rob, right? You say, you know, something, you're supposed to be somewhere at 2:30. You say you have to be there at 1:30 or between 1:30 and 2.
I always subtract a half hour from when I tell Carrie the absolute latest she can be home or something like that.
Yeah.
Because she'll miss it every time.
It works.
It's something in the wiring.
It does work.
Anyway, that doesn't work. Then I'm like a madman. We're on the road, and of course, my whole attitude is, I'm trying to keep this under control while really underneath. Well, you know, like you guys said, I'm seething.
Of course,
part of me is driving. I'm looking at the clock, going like 6:10, and we're on Route 29, and they're doing construction, and I just say, like in the middle of some happy, peppy, faggy '70s song that I like on the radio, I turn the radio down and I go, who does effing traffic on a Saturday? You know, and I realize that the problem is with me. The problem is not.
No, it's not.
No. The problem is not with those around.
Come on now.
We arrived.
Don't let them wear you down.
We arrived at Robin's house, my sister-in-law's, exactly 30 minutes late. Exactly what I had said. We got there at 6:30. And
you weren't the last people to get there.
No, Bart was the last to get there.
Was he really?
Bart was the last to get there.
What time did he walk in?
Exactly 5 minutes after I
really
just like he said he would.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Just like he said he would.
Wow. And a half an hour is not a problem.
I know.
Hour's a problem.
I was a time thing, and then yesterday I thought because I had overreacted to the time thing on Saturday, I tried not to overreact to the time thing yesterday.
How soon did you eat after you got there?
hours later, Mike.
No, seriously. Is it like when you... You know it's a problem if you arrive at the family gathering and you immediately sit down to eat.
Right. No. It was one of those. It was casual. I mean, we had snacks and drinks and talked, and everybody goofed around, and we went out in the yard.
About 8 o'clock or so?
Later than that.
Hey, you're fine.
Until 9 o'clock. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're like me. I completely relate to you doing this.
Yeah.
It drives me insane. It truly drives me insane. I really feel... that, you know, at the end of my life, you're going to add all that time up that I was waiting for people. Mm-hmm. Waiting for people other than me. And it's going to put years on my life. Or it's going to take years off of my life.
That's right. And I don't want to besmirch anybody's reputation here. Because you're all very nice guys. But I want to say, there's one person who's head and shoulders above the rest. Buzz.
Really, how?
If you say to Buzz, we're having a party. And Buzz says, what time should I be there? And I say, 6:08, he arrives at 6:08.
Yes, he is very, very punctual.
He is absolutely timely.
But this is where he loses it.
This is true. Mike's right about this.
He doesn't always leave on time.
That's right.
That's right.
Who's your buddy?
That's the bartender.
Huh?
You're the man.
I've been known to ask you.
Yeah. Mike's the man.
When do you want me to get out of here?
But you two, Don,
and you can tell me without any hesitation, and then I will be, you know, like a rocket ship at that particular time.
But you two are funny because you...
And I always leave the poker game in anger.
Yes, you do. And you usually leave not based on clock, but by finance.
Right.
Yeah, well...
Extra angry and extra timely.
The two of you are funny, though, because you both equally hate to be late, but
don't want to
get there early.
Yeah.
And I love it, like appearances and stuff, if I look outside a venue and see you both circling.
Because you're
in the neighborhood.
How many times have we had things that we had to be at and we see each other circling
always
the block?
Always.
Always.
Sign of a professional. Look
That's it.
Is it in the book?
It's a pro. Look it up in the book.
I shall look it up in the book.
Of course.
Hurricane.
One of these forwarding addresses.
My 50th anniversary.
I'm going to do that show because I'm a pro. Look it up in the book.
I'm here for my man Duke.
Good to see the Duker again.
The Duker.
The Duker.
Oh, and before we talk about the Sopranos and Rich Little and my... If you thought he blew on our radio show last week, wait till you hear...
I don't think he blew.
Wait till you hear this guy.
I thought he was safe.
At the White House correspondent.
Safe and squeaky clean.
Was James Watt, former Interior Secretary, was he at that correspondence dinner? Because that was just the same continuation of the Wayne Newton phenomenon when they, you know, bumped the Beach Boys,
to bring
Wayne Newton in. It was just so safe. I'm not a satirist.
Rich got one dirty word on C-SPAN, though.
Yeah.
A-hole. A-hole twice. Right.
And the a-hole was probably the funniest thing he said.
His biggest line. Yeah.
And it was an old lawyer joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke.
I also noticed that the word a-hole got through on the USA Network.
And in the newspaper.
In the, not in that context. It was the Adam Sandler movie, 50 First Dates.
A-hole got used?
It happened to be on when I was, why is it you say that? But it's true. It did happen to be on the TV that I sat down at my house that they were watching. And as I sat there, it was like, she said, Drew Barrymore, she said... Don't be such an a-hole. I was like, hold on a second. The regular USA.
I heard two F-bombs on Nickelodeon.
I knew that
But only when with someone was slime.
Right, exactly.
I heard the F-bomb on Adult Swim.
On Cartoon Network.
Sure.
F-U. This is a good, this is a good lead-in before we got to hit a break. About dirty stuff where you don't expect it. Over the weekend, I was showing my boy how I play all of our listeners in Xbox. Turned on the Xbox Live. Mike, I know you bought Guitar Hero over the weekend, right?
Yeah. I got a story to tell you about that.
Not as easy as you thought, huh? Tell me about it.
American children have everything when it first comes out.
Anyway,
Jesus.
I turn on Xbox Live, and I show Bart that my friend list has got like 200 people. I say, these are all listeners of the show. And when I'm online, friend, they can get online, and he had a message. And I said to Bart, well, here you go. Let's see what he's got to say. This is one of our listeners. Gotta be, right? So that it says, not only does it say, wants to be your friend, meaning that you'll add him to your buddies list, says, has sent video, picture. So I go, click on this, because you can send pictures.
Right,
right. He sent me a vile picture of what appeared to be some cheap
homemade pornography with.
No.
I hope it was either his sister or his girlfriend, spreading her legs.
Wow.
And showing me the goods.
Really?
But, if you got the if you you know, you can tape your voice and you can and your face.
You can duct the tape
and you can send a video message to somebody.
Right. Right.
I didn't know, and this was a still photo. It looked like he had paused a videotape. And she definitely
is that the first porn you've ever received on that
on Xbox? Yeah.
Yeah. Xbox is kind of the gamer land. You're not supposed to get the porn there.
And I'm sure that now I'm going to get home tonight. I'm going to have nothing but, you know, clown porn.
Good for you.
From our stupid listeners. But I had never known. And the vast reaches of the last place, at least in my mind, you think you would find porn on the John Madden game. I'm playing the John, like, oh, my God. I said, look at that.
I don't know if that's homemade porn or not.
Now, is that like email, or do you have to accept it like an instant message? How does it work? I mean, does it pop up and you have to, accept?
First off, whenever one of our listeners goes online, that's what it says, you hear the sound like that, and you get a little thing on the bottom of your screen saying, for instance, a guy I played against yesterday, his screen name is Black Howard. It says, Black Howard is online.
Mm-hmm.
Then, while I was...
Hello, Robin.
Yeah.
I sure am glad you did that, Mike. Wouldn't that be crazy? Hello there, Robin.
Hello, Robin.
Well, hello, Howard.
And somehow I just want to do... Nipsey Rasta.
No, so what you do is you then, if someone would send you a request to be your buddy list, or you want to send them video or a picture, it pops up and you hit. I could delete it before I opened it.
Right.
And all the crazy poses.
I had never seen porn. Not that I'm complaining about it, but I'd never seen.
Well,
porn.
How was she? Was the woman quality?
She looked like she could have been in Borat.
Oh,
she looked like she was
really that
from,
bad.
From Kavascan or
so
whatever.
Somebody you that. It's a joke. It's probably not anybody he even knows.
It was. She looked some Eastern,
Middle Eastern.
Yeah,
Eastern
maybe it's
European.
From that another video game called Bukkake Hero. EA Sports.
It's in the Bukkake.
Wow.
Yeah, I hit all the right buttons.
I'm the champ.
I'm John Madden.
This one's going out to Mrs. Bukkake.
Hey, you better watch out. There's some bukkake on the field. Whoa, he's going to feel that bukkake for a while.
Man, look at that pigeon walking across the field here. It's, got a bukkake.
Here's the guy.
This guy's got bukkake written all over him. No doubt. Happy Thanksgiving.
We got to do this. We'll be right back, bro.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Touche, Captain Blood.
Let's do three.
Checkers, the thinking man's game.
You're looking for a smack in the f***ing mouth.
Corrado. Language, please. Everybody has it? Okay.
What do you want?
If you'd move, perhaps I could reach the chest set.
And if I don't, what the f*** are you going to do to...
You don't intimidate me.
Corrado. Huh. So... We take the
mountain. You're lucky she's here, you little prick. Naturally. You're only tough when there's an authority figure nearby so things don't go too far. Oh, how the mighty have fought.
Corrado!
Corrado.
Get him! Get him! How do you like that?
Oh, no.
I'm going to kill this prick.
Corrado.
You know they're hacked. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, first off, our apologies. Our last segment was chopped by the great CBS censors because the game of tag's name is apparently a dirty word and nobody bothered to tell us that.
Well, I know it's dirty, but it's not dirty. I didn't think it was on the list. It's only dirty if people know what it means.
John, when did it become one of the dirty words?
That I don't know. I was unaware up until just a few minutes ago myself.
Cocky.
Ice hockey.
Boo.
Boo cake.
Halloween is a bouquet.
Bouquet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, sucks. Sucks ass.
I don't even know what the dictionary definition is.
Oh, my.
Hold on. Got a guy. Mike, can we break in? It says the guy who sent the porno to be on Xbox is
all
on
right.
the phone. Johnny?
Get on, guys.
Johnny?
I'm the one who sent you. Yes, it is. Johnny.
Johnny, now, what is your last name?
Johnny?
What does your
on Xbox?
On Xbox, what does your last name start with?
B. Ends with an E, mm-hmm. and is very disgusting.
Now, to make sure that you're really Johnny B,
yep.
you first sent me on Xbox a note that was like, tell me the first thing you sent to me. It wasn't
saying, Mike, to get good about his Hispanic attacks. Happy belated 420 to Buzz.
Thanks.
And happy Hito.
Hmm. You know, it must have been, I was thinking of another message that
how many guys do you have on that list now? Like 30 guys?
There's like 200 of them.
200 on your friends list on Xbox?
Yeah.
Wow.
Of our listeners. But I thought you sent me one that was like, hey, are you really the guy that, is this really your gamer tag? Or are you all high and mighty? Because that guy I wrote back, you know, I'd be glad to be your friend. Just send a request, ...... Mm-hmm. Did I send that back to you?
No, I just sent you the picture first, and then afterwards, I was like, oh, this guy's freaking out. He doesn't know who I am. Okay. I didn't want to be weird, so I sent you the message with a little bit of comedy.
I didn't want to be
all
weird.
All right, so I'm getting all of my Xbox guys mixed up. Who's the lady in the photo that you sent?
That would be my roommate.
Wow.
Oh, really?
A real girl.
Do you have a sexual relationship with your roommate?
No, she drinks a lot of alcohol, though, and good times ensue, let me tell you.
This guy sounds like a gamer, doesn't he?
What does that mean? Hey, these are my people, Rob.
I know they're your peeps.
I got weirded out when a guy named Johnny, I don't know if I can say on the radio, sent you a message.
Yeah, that's right. Johnny B word.
Thank you, buddy.
Johnny,
yeah.
Johnny B good.
Johnny B.
There you go.
Johnny Bouquet. Yeah. Okay, so thanks for sending me porno on Xbox.
Hey, I'll continue.
Well, no, don't.
I'll continue.
Well, I'd be curious to see his friend. Not worth it, though. Not
well, Mike, you know what? You could sign up.
He's very nice.
You could sign up on Guitar Hero for Xbox Live yourself. And if you give out your gamer tag, look at how scared you are.
No.
Our listeners could contact you as well.
No, I can be contacted in person at many of the area's finest drinkeries.
Hey, you're about your roommate. Is she breathing?
Is she what?
Is she breathing?
Breathing.
Is she still alive? You don't just pose her and take pictures,
all right.
do you?
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
No. She's breathing.
Good for you and your roommate.
Hey, who knew that your last name, well, I thought it was something cartoonish, is something apparently that gets a CBS lawyer's wad.
Yes. Well, Buzz just wrote it down to refresh my memory about what it is. Do you remember?
That's what I figured
this
out,
is
man.
The precise definition of it. Well, Mike didn't know, so I wrote it down.
I know, but it's like one of those funny words.
Right. I thought it was a funny word, too, but I guess it's a literal translation from the Japanese. Yes.
Yeah, well, how many Japanese are listening to us right
Turning
now?
Turning Japanese.
Buzz has a spelling error on that. You should run that card through spell check.
I think I shall.
All right, thank you. Don't send me no more nasty pictures on Xbox.
All right, well, hopefully I'll play it one day.
All right.
How weird.
Okay. Not weird, Don.
Hopefully.
Bye-bye.
I'm not weird. Well, you really don't have any real personal contact. It's just the game. The game's the thing.
All right. Feel like I want to be gone. I mean, God.
I've been surfing for babes like all day.
God.
Like all day, Napoleon.
Oh, and hold on, Mike. Before we talk about more Xbox Sopranos, there is a drunk message from Joe to Rob over the weekend.
Oh, excellent.
A drunk phone message.
Wow.
I think it's Saturday night. You know, we just moved, so most of the weekend I've been setting stuff up.
Joe! Right.
And I heard my phone ring, and I looked, and it was Joe. And
how
I said,
are you doing, Joe?
No offense, Joe, but I just said not tonight.
And not answering
go,
it.
I want to go straight to voicemail. And
so
this
what
is
time,
what
time is it Saturday night?
It, probably around between 10 and 11. I don't know. I think it's slated on the
valley
message.
Okay. Here's our man, Joe.
Joe Ardinger.
First saved message from
Joe.
Received April 21st at 10:27 p.m.
I hate Chuck LaVille or LaVille or Chuck LaVille or Chuck LaVille. I hate him like I hate
that guy with the Beatles. I'll tell you on Monday, but I hate Chuck LaVille. He's the keyboardist for the Rolling Stones. The supposed keyboardist. And I hate him. He sucks. But I love you. And I'm having a great weekend. I'll talk to you later. Hope you are too. And if you're not, call me back. I'll cheer you up. I'll cheer you up.
You can.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Hi, Joe.
Wow.
The more he drinks, the more he sounds like Owen Wilson.
I'll cheer you up, buddy. I'll cheer you up there, buddy, bro.
Hey, Joe, why were you mad at the keyboardist for the Stones, your favorite band?
Chuck LaVille.
Because I was watching my Stones DVDs and he was ruining the concert for me.
Why?
Buzzkill.
Because he thinks he's all that and he's not.
That's right. And he's kind of an outsider when it comes to the Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah, but when he's interviewed, he likes to claim like he adds so much to them.
How are you doing, Joe?
All right, bye, Joe.
Good day.
Monday. He's doing pretty good for Monday, Joe. He seemed to have a little extra spring in his
Good day to you, sir.
Especially when you sound like that on the weekend. To bounce back on Monday,
yeah.
That's good.
It's a strong rebound.
Nice to have a nice, strong Sopranos last night.
Very cool.
Really good. One of those good, insightful, make you think Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Fooled me. Mm-hmm. I thought I had called it very early in the episode when I said to Jan, Paulie Walnuts is dead.
Yeah.
That's before... Before the boat or
right.
anything.
Right.
Thank goodness I was wrong about that.
Yeah, I'd hate to see him whack Paulie Walnuts. I'd like to see him stay to the bitter end.
It was great.
They're going to start losing him pretty soon, though.
Yeah.
Great seeing Big Pussy come back, even in a
yeah.
dream flashback.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me what it's like, P. I guess I run my mouth a little bit too much. We're going to go out and get a marlin?
You know, also when
what are we going to get a marlin for, T?
When I was sure, when Tony says, you've got yourself, check for Tourette's.
Check yes. for Tourette's. Because he's always talking to people, and then he said, we're going to Miami when he went to the hotel. I don't understand, T.
Really, really good. And
how about when he jumps out of the car when the other mafia guys from down in Florida?
Oh,
and see Paulie Walnuts.
Hey, hold on there.
And he's just like a pit bull jumping out of the car.
Right. Was I the only one that was a little flipped out? I mean, considering they couldn't have done it on purpose, certainly. But
I know what you're going to say about the guy in Junior Sopranos, like looking like the Virginia Tech guy.
Exactly, uh-huh. The criminally insane Asian
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously had no ability to figure that out.
Weirded me out a little bit because it was such an odd coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, he looked like him.
Yes, and
the anger and the fact that he's institutionalized,
right.
The whole thing was very, very strange.
Bad relationship with mother.
I think it was just a theory of coincidence, T. I don't understand it. Why are we going to Florida? Got to lay on the land. We buried the guy under the concrete.
Where's my iPod? Where's my iPod? Oh, you took your pills.
Corrado, what are you doing to me? Corrado. Corrado beat the guy up inside the institution.
The professor.
There we go, T.
You know, you got the psychoanalysis of Tony, but you also got a guy shot in the eye and beatings. It was everything you want
yeah.
in The Sopranos. There was enough of the gratuitous violence
right.
to make it work
right.
worthwhile.
And just in case you didn't know the guy got shot in the eye, they had that gratuitous shot afterwards.
That's Phil Leotardo's guy.
Yeah. Phil Leotardo.
Oh, right? They call
it a... <That's> a laugh.
And how about we're... Paulie's watching, I think it was Three's Company.
Yeah. Laughing his ass off.
When Tony looks
sitting on the end of the bed like a tard watching it.
I also love the way his hair goes when he's in bed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
The guy with the hair.
What about his closet with all the organizers and the
And he's got
shoes?
The white shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he pack three pairs of white shoes to make the trip down to Florida?
Yeah.
We're going to go down and lay low in Miami, T. We're going to have a fantastic time. Your old man, he'd be proud of you. He loved you. He loved you, T. He really did. I know he was hard on you, T, but let's go kill somebody. Let's go kill somebody.
And how about when they were their mobster buddy at first down in Florida? He was, you have no idea, really, unless you follow through, he's in a wheelchair. He's I got to go change my bag.
Yeah. And then how about when they would say,
he's a stand-up guy. He's a stand-up guy. Sorry, no disrespect.
Well, and I don't know about you. I feel secure enough in my sexuality to say that I am totally turned on whenever Tony climbs on top of some hoe.
Tony, that grosses me out so totally now. And it's always the same. I mean, really, you're going to bang somebody. Even you just take the wife beater off at least.
It is like watching a bear having sex on the National Geographic Channel.
And it's always the same. I mean, it's always like...
It's always him on top, thrust over.
And then he smiles a little bit.
Sure.
Hey, how about with friends?
He goes for the cigar, though. She goes for the cigarette.
Yeah,
he goes
right for the cigar. And Tony giving up very little information. That was a very interesting episode.
Very.
Once again, setting the table up for stuff to come down the road. But no Christopher. It really seems to me, and this is one criticism I have of The Sopranos, that they're almost trying to get everybody their show. They're getting everybody their particular episode. We got Bobby Bacala now. We had Paulie Walnuts yesterday. So we'll probably have one with Christopher. We'll
Sill.
Probably have one with Carmella.
You got to have Sill in there, too.
Right. And if they have one with Lorraine Bracco, I'm not tuning in. Because that still, to me, is the most boring part of The Sopranos when he's in the psychiatrist's office. I hate that. I truly hate that part.
What if Tony started...
doing the deed?
Yeah. What if he finally had his fantasy fulfilled and it was Lorraine Bracco laying under
on the couch with a wife beater on,
yeah,
grunting and then leaning over and going,
oh, that's good. It's good for me, though. Just his robe on.
Oh, man. But there was the obligatory mob hit, and that guy was hit by Phil Leotardo, right?
Yep.
That's right.
Yes, he was.
And he looks, you know what, of all the guys, I was going to mention this, of all the guys in The Sopranos, when we were up in New York and we had that one night in Little Italy, that guy with the white hair, that guy looks like a lot of the guys we saw that were allegedly
real.
Yeah.
There was one particular guy who was being paid tribute to, and we saw it with our own eyes.
It was real life
and it
stuff.
Sure looked like it. No, it sure looked like the real deal.
But being paid tribute to by the police, remember?
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Right, Buck. Let's see. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What's hey, happening? Radio Don. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
How funny was it when Paulie had all those shoes in the closet and he picked out five pair of white shoes, man?
Let's say hi to Mr. 5 minutes ago. Thank you, though, friend. Thank you.
They go good with my suit.
Hello, Don.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, I was in Washington, D.C. last month, and I thought I saw...
Hey, it sounds to me like you're stuck inside Music Radio WABC. For God's sakes, pick up the telephone or get out of the bathroom.
Okay. Now, hold on, let me...
I'm a fan of Echo and Reverb, but please.
Echo.
Okay, how's this? Is it a little better?
Well, what do you want? Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on I'm on a cell phone.
What kind of room are you in?
In a kitchen.
Move to a room.
Why don't I step outside? I'm moved to Port Angeles, Washington. I used to write the Charlie Southwell hate letters back in the day when I did Pool from Sacramento.
Oh, the Pool guy.
Oh, I know. This is Pat Morris from Sacramento.
Right.
Oh, my God. You're the one that used to send the letters.
Yeah, about 10 years ago up until about 5 years ago.
You were a Charlie Southwell hater.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were a good one. You could always pile on and piss off Charlie Southwell.
I don't. Well, the thing is, I think I saw him the other day, and he was driving a Cabriolet convertible. And I'll tell you what, this guy was too cool for remedial school.
Like a Cabriolet? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Charlie was wearing his snappy red vest and bow tie, while his lavender hat was blowing
in the breeze. Hold on, Pat.
Yeah.
You're calling, and you're giving us is like the text of one of the messages that you would send to Charlie. Charlie Stossel's not been on our show like for 5 years.
That's true. I know that, but... I had a couple questions about Charlie. Is he still dating Lotta Pink Eye Stephanie, the little redhead? I wasn't sure.
Wow. He's obsessed, isn't he?
Pink Eye Stephanie.
The little redhead.
Is he still a camp counselor? Because we all know that Charlie...
Pat, hold on a second. Yeah. Pat, where have you been? Where have you been hiding?
Pat, really, we've not had him on the show. And your letters were part of the reason he doesn't want to be on the show anymore.
Okay, that's true.
And Pat, we're cool with it. We read it as well. We're okay with Charlie Stossel. It's just he wanted to come on the show and review movies, not read hate letters or letters from guys in prison.
Are you still cleaning pools?
Actually, I just moved to Port Angeles, Washington yesterday. I can see Victoria 13 miles away. I'm on top of the hill overlooking...
That really wouldn't speak to what I was asking.
Do you still clean pools?
Oh, no, I don't. I got out of that business.
What business are you in now, Pat?
I'm kind of semi-retired. I'm not working right now. I just moved up here yesterday.
Retired or retarded?
Oh, retired.
Okay.
All right. Because we know what those pensions are for pool.
Bye!
Bye now.
All right.
Bye. Pat Morris, voice from the past.
Full-time pool cleaner, part-time crystal meth.
Union.
too much to explain to people who don't know what that whole thing was like. We used to have a guy on the show to review movies, and what his role evolved into was pretty much he would come on every week, and he drew all kinds of mail from prisoners.
Right. They were fascinated with him, and of course we perpetuated that.
And virtually he would want to come on every week to discuss the movies of the week, and instead we would simply read him his fan mail, and he really didn't like the tone of some of the fan mail.
And then he got involved with a woman, and she kind of pushed him in the other direction, too.
Well, it was his own fault that he would get on the air and open up about his life, and then people would write him letters about the...
It's also some of the things he did. Let's be fair here. You know, it's the camp counselor shorts that he would wear in here. Yeah. Remember those? When he would wear those with the socks pulled up to his knees, practically.
Soccer uniforms.
And he used to have he'd always have a big gulp, but he'd drink it just so with the straw.
He'd
tuck his chin down on his chest and suck out of the straw, and he'd look oh so gay doing
figurine
that.
Figurine collection. All of that.
Yeah, he had the Dalmatians. Remember, he had the whole 1,001 Dalmatians?
The time we went to his office, he ran a movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And, hey, come on, there's no shame in that.
He got us into a lot of free screenings.
Sure, he was great. Very good, though.
We went to his office at his complex there with the eight screens, and he had every goddamn giveaway doll that had been given away in the last, 5 years, all of them lined up on the ledge all the way around his entire office.
He never met an animated feature that he didn't like.
Right.
He loved the animated feature.
When he would review the movies on our show?
He would always. He loved anything animated. He really did. And we figured out it's because he liked to collect the figurines.
Right. Do you remember the last straw with him, or one of the main last straws?
There were about 20 of them.
But the best one was when you did him for Jeopardy one week.
Hold on. That was the only straw, and that was not a straw. That was a log.
He'd been sensitive prior to that. That was just the coup de grace.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I will say, equally culpable, yes, absolutely.
I believe that was one Jeopardy. You may have had a hand in writing some of it.
Yeah, sure.
I think we had a lot of creative control.
We were lampooning one of our own,
right.
As we would lampoon him.
Right. And it was something about tubs and washing people, and
baths.
It didn't go that well.
Baths, a lot about baths.
He's a good guy. He always was a good guy.
Very good.
And he never burned any children.
Never.
Never did.
See, the problem is, the poor bastard, really, he let us know on the air that his first wife left him for a lesbian.
Right.
That was huge.
We could never let that go. Then the next woman that he got involved with, he was so nice. He was like he was involved in Big Brothers.
Right.
And he would come in and tell us under the most normal of guises the things that he was doing with his...
And they were wonderful things. Of course, we were so...
With his little buddy.
We were such horrible human beings that we found a way to mock them.
And the one thing I know for me that was the pressure point with Charlie would simply be asking, you know, did you and little Stevie, whatever his name is, did you go out today? What'd you do? And he would always very carefully say, we went down, we played soccer. Well, did you get hot? Yes. Well, did you have to take a bath?
And then it would be, all right, shut up, stop it.
And then, yeah.
And we always made the comparison between him and camp counselor.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy Scout leader, camp counselor.
Then there was the time that he was featured, he was highlighted. We thought it would be a compliment. Yeah. He was very upset. He left the show.
I thought it was a spot-on impression.
And then
he
got a gig at Oldies 100.
Rich Little couldn't have done that.
And when they called for the reference, Rob took the call. And, of course, seriously, we love Charlie Stoss, even though we're busting his balls.
Yeah, of course we did.
We gave him nothing but a glowing reference. Mm-hmm. But they had an odd question because of Charlie's persona on the show.
They said to me, we're thinking of bringing Charlie on for the morning show. Is there anything we should know? Like, he's never burned any children or anything, has
he? Right. Because they've heard us on the radio, and some people don't understand when we're just joshing.
That was the one question they had. I said, he never has.
That we know of.
That we were aware of.
Mike.
And it was just, and you remember the funniest thing when we'd receive the correspondence would be the pictures of Clint Howard.
Yes.
Yeah.
He looked like
And he hated that, too.
Yeah, you know, Pat Morris didn't do the comic strips. There was another guy who did the comic strips.
Right.
I think I still have some on file.
We did have a Charlie file with all the prison mail.
They're most excellent.
That poor guy, he would come in and he would look like a man going to the gallows as he walked down the hall for his weekly appearance on our show.
Well, it would be the Charlie Stossel movie segment, and you would have a stack of mail, and it would be the same thing every week. We'd bring him in, and you would say, well, Charlie, we know we got some movies to get to, but before we do, and as soon as you would say before we do, you would just see his shoulders slump because he knew that the stuff was coming up,
And quite often, there would be no movie review whatsoever. No, I mean, not even one.
Right.
And like the guy, the pool cleaner who just called, he would send his letter, and the pool cleaner would write it on lined kid's paper with really bad, like, fifth-grade handwriting, and he would overnight express mail these things. So as soon as Charlie Stossel would come to the studio, I would hold up the package that would indicate, hey, guess what? The pool cleaner in California has written you another hate letter.
And when he would protest, of course, we would you would sensitively answer him by saying, well, it's better than your TPSs, your tedious plus summary.
Oh, my God. Good memory.
This is a combination of factors.
Yeah. Well, do you remember? He could not give a review.
No, he would give us the whole plot of the movie.
In under 5 minutes.
Right. Well, first, they wouldn't be reviews. They would be summaries of the plot.
Right.
Tedious.
And then it'd be like you'd be pulling teeth to get the review. Well, what do you think of it?
I liked it.
And that's what it would be. But he was he was fun.
Yeah.
Because he really would use the language with us too. You know, F you. I love that.
You loved calling us the C word as well. Yeah. When he was mad, he would use that almost like other people use the F word.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Charlie Stossel.
Hey, good afternoon, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hey, buddy, we're great.
Hey, getting back to Sopranos, I think one of the best lines I've ever heard Tony say was when, Paulie was at the dinner with him and he just wouldn't shut up. He's talking and talking about, you know, what about this time and that time? And then, you know, T wasn't talking and then...
When he walked away? Yeah.
Yeah, he walks away and they said, what's the matter? He says, I think remember when is the lowest form of conversation.
Good line. Remember when, the lowest form of conversation.
Good line.
It was a good one. You're right. Yeah. That's a good line.
Why so tense, T? Why are you so tense? We're doing some reminiscing. I don't understand. What B got in your bonnet?
Remember when Charlie Stossel was on the show?
Don and Mike, hello there.
I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Is this a bad Super Dave impression?
This is Super Dave.
Right, that's what I thought. Listen, we're going to break.
Great job at the correspondence dinner.
But just to be correct, like, if we're going to talk about bad impressions, let's devote, when we come back from the break, some time to Rich Little, who was on the show last week.
Very good.
He could not have sucked more on our show last week. Saturday night, he was the headliner for the White House correspondence dinner.
The very safe headliner. Total bomb.
Because Stephen Colbert was so scary last year.
Yes.
And said so many things that so many people thought were inflammatory.
Maybe it'll go back the other way.
Hope so.
Or maybe it'll be this way forever.
God, it can't be. It can't be.
Where do you go?
Forever.
Where do you go from Rich Little?
Two words, Mike. Carrot Top.
Perfect.
A prop comic.
He never fails to make me laugh.
The Carrot Top would like whip out a shotgun and say something about Dick Cheney. Okay, then Gallagher.
Gallagher. Anyway, it's Rich Little. Rich Little, everybody.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your reaction. Thank
God he sucks.
That's the end of it, right?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah. Here he is singing.
Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C. and the big White House and the Congress halls and the U.S. Treasury. This capital city of the wise and the witty has presidents by galore. Republicans and Democrats and bureaucrats galore.
He used galore twice.
My God, this is awful.
Sing a little song all about the throng in Washington. Make a little toast, God. And we're going to roast how things are done.
God, you
tell
suck.
A little joke, and we're going to poke a lot of fun. Poke a lot of fun at Washington.
I like rape.
Ooh, oh, my.
Ooh, wow.
Chillingly bad.
Yeah. I mean, he went back to the 20s.
Yeah.
Douche chill bad.
Wow, he's awful, and we've got all of it, and we'll get to it in just a moment.
Very good.
And don't let me forget, I want to chat with you about Guitar Hero.
Jesus.
Oh, you know what? You know what we're doing today? We're doing some port setting. Maybe we'll discuss Guitar Hero outside when we're doing our porch set.
I think that's a fine idea.
Because they had a fine day today,
beautiful.
Andy.
Time for porch set, and it went over great last time.
Andy, cut your time. We got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
We're back with Alec Baldwin. What kind of father are you?
Oh, I think I'm like a lot of men. I know I'm kind of a slave to my daughter whenever my daughter's around.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, when my daughter's around, I just...
She owns you.
Yeah, I mean, I just do it.
This is a funny tape now to hear.
The deal I have with her, we'll go to the store. I mean, I joke with her. I say, will go to the store and she'll want to go buy things. And she's not greedy. You know, she's not gluttonous in any way. She's a very reasonable kid. She's a great person. But we'll go to the store and I'll say to her, you can have whatever you can carry out of here. If you can carry it out of here, you can have, you know, the clothes, all the clothes you can carry.
You think that's a byproduct of being a divorced father? An absentee father?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, but I've tried to steer away from that where the things we do are not all, you know, what they call the Disney dad syndrome, where everything is about fun and games and activities and things that are, you know, not the quotidian chores of the day. I mean, you know, I want to do her homework with her, and I want to do her, I want real life with her.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you little pig. He likes to talk about himself.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Where's the thing where he says you're a little pig?
We already take that out.
We have two of them.
Is that how fast we forget?
Alec Baldwin. What?
I left one on the machine.
Hold on. What?
I left one on the machine.
Thank
at number
you.
17.
That's 17.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
There you go. Thank you, Robbie.
They know how to use their faces properly. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
129,000 results. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Uh-huh.
Right, Marge.
How about Bob Barker?
Our top winner in the showcase is gay.
Homo.
Hi, Bob. It's not going to be the same, incidentally, without Bob. No.
This is really annoying.
I don't know. Okay, that's for the Sopranos.
Garotto. I can't pee in public bathrooms.
That's from House.
Garotto, language.
So many of these.
We do.
Oh, and here's a great Chuck Woolery tape from Love Connection.
Our next guest is originally from Bainesville, Illinois. He enjoys cold beer and hot music. He says that he and his mom don't see eye to eye on his love life. And he claims that his job has cost him several relationships. Please welcome Robert Faggot.
Right.
Wow.
That is a good one.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes we got a good weekend. A lot of stuff is picked up by old TiVo.
The TiVo.
Good old DVR.
TiVo machine.
Now, it was about this time, 1 week ago, that we had Rich Little on the show.
Right.
And
yes, we did, though.
I know a lot of you out there listening, I saw our message board at DonandMikeWebsite.com. A lot of it was, who the F is Rich Little?
Right.
Boy, this guy sucks. What you don't know is that he was actually an outstanding, very timely booking because he was the guy, as we were alluding to, that had been selected to head this White House Correspondents' Dinner, the thing that I'm sure you've seen the pictures. Sangina was there last night. All of these wannabe celebrities
it's
go to
the night of Hollywood in Washington, D.C.
And it's supposed to be where you can bust balls on the president
right.
and make it almost like a roast.
Mm-hmm.
Imus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. He got in trouble for saying something about Clinton while Hillary Clinton was sitting two people away from him on the dais.
Yeah, it's so funny. They want to poke fun at themselves, but they don't want to poke fun at themselves. They really want to make sure it's safe and sanitized. And now the current Correspondents Association, whoever the committee is, has taken that one step further to really sanitize the event by hiring this guy.
So they have this guy, Rich Little. We had him on the show last week. Back in the day, like 40 years ago, he was the best impressionist in Hollywood.
That's true. And he made his really made his name by doing Johnny Carson.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, they decided he's the choice because Stephen Colbert from The Daily Show last year was simply too controversial.
Right.
So they want to get someone safe. And Rich Little blows. He blew on our show last week.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to blow in these tapes you hear. But you have to at least give some of the blow blame to George Bush, because if there was ever a bad setup for a guy who's going to come out and tell jokes.
Without question, you cannot possibly stymie any comedian more than the president did.
Now, part of the deal is that every year that the president stands up, no matter who he is, and he reads jokes that have been written for him,
mm-hmm.
where he puts himself down.
Right.
Bush is not going to do any of that this year because of what just happened at Virginia Tech.
Right.
But he's still going to let Rich Little come out and blow dead bear.
And give him just a non-intro intro. It really, Rich Little, no matter who it was, I mean, you just, it's, talk about a no-win situation. I mean, people are ready, because the press on this guy being safe was you know, they've given it to him all week long.
You could have brought out, who's one of our, a funny safe comedian?
Chris Rock.
I said funny safe.
Yeah. Funny and safe comedians?
Jerry Seinfeld.
There you go.
You could have brought out Jerry Seinfeld, and he would have problems getting laughs after this intro.
True.
Okay, so here's our president.
And I was looking forward to doing a little poking myself. But in light of this week's tragedy at Virginia Tech, I decided not to be funny. Many of the men and women in this room have spent this week reporting from Blacksburg, Virginia. You have interviewed grieving students and faculty members. You have spoken with the families who lost a child. You have brought home to millions of Americans the sense of sorrow and loss.
Now, in fairness to Rich Little, who I think we've said 1,000 times sucks, he's standing in the wings.
He's on the dais.
He's waiting. Yeah, I mean, literally.
Sitting over there waiting to be introduced.
Yeah, literally, he's next up. And this is his lead-in.
The warm-up.
That the Virginia Tech community is going through now. And I appreciate your work. At a memorial service on Tuesday, I told the university community that people all over this country are thinking about them, and many are praying for them. And so, God, really, this dinner comes at a good time. It's been a tough week for a lot of folks, particularly the folks in Virginia Tech. And so I'm not going to try to be the funny guy, but I had the opportunity to introduce one who will be.
I mean, if that, it's totally, you know,
so
really. You want an advertisement.
You're mildly retarded.
That the humor has left Washington. I mean, it's official. Mm-hmm. They've tried to push it out of here before, but it has officially left the station.
Dumbass.
Not that it's not appropriate. You know, he went to the memorial service. Maybe at the end of the evening, some remarks might be. This is, you know, the worst possible thing you can do to a comedian.
Now he's going to bring him out.
And so, thanks for the dinner. And it's now my honor to bring to this podium.
Sounds like he's leaving, doesn't it?
And good man, Rich Little.
Now that I've talked about the greatest shooting tragedy in American history, and incidentally, I'm going to use this as an out, not to poke fun at myself, but let me just say a few more times, Virginia Tech, dead people, Virginia Tech, dead people.
Here he is, Rich Little.
Laugh it up.
Wow. Now you're, but even, you know, I'm thinking, even your edgy comedian who would respond to that setup, who would be thinking about that setup, it's still a no-win because you don't want to respond to that. I mean, you really don't want to respond.
Yeah. Robbie, are these things in order?
Yeah.
All right, so here is Rich Little after he comes out directly after that great intro from our president.
See if you can feel the energy in the room. Because it's pretty palpable.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can't wait to get home and add you to my resume as being an opening act.
Okay, I'll give him credit. That's remotely funny. He's at least trying to poke some...
Remotely with a capital R.
Yeah, like in Siberia funny.
Do you think he was going to say that no matter what?
Yeah. Probably.
I think it's pretty much all rehearsed.
It was written down for him, yes. As you can tell, it killed.
They're ready for him. The audience is really warmed up.
I want to warn you, the rest of the act isn't that funny.
I am delighted to be here this evening, and my wife is with me, too. And this is a great honor to be back doing this dinner once again. I did it in 1984. And they said to me, the committee...
What are they applauding for the year?
84. There are people that are dying, always people that are dying to be entertained in an audience that are going to clap for anything.
Reagan fans.
In 84, Rich, if you do a good job, we will have you back.
You poor bastard.
Of course, I had to wait until everybody died. But that's okay. I want to tell you right off the top...
I want to tell you...
...that I am not a political satirist. I'm not up here tonight to make any point
politically. Believe me.
And now he's doing a really good job himself of setting you up for a night of yucks.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming out and saying, hey, you're absolutely right. If you wanted somebody safe that is not going to say anything about anyone, you got the right guy.
I'm an impersonator, basically. Do a lot of impressions of people, and some of them are politicians. You know, I'm a nightclub entertainer that tells a lot of dumb, silly, stupid jokes, you know? And I'm just here tonight to try and make enough money to get my relatives out of Canada.
I like watching your reaction.
Just hear
I
the,
really like watching
just hear
your
the people going, bar service, please?
I'm
waiter.
And you know what? I can't hear him without... Really, you know how people tell me everybody sounds the same? When I'm listening to Rich Little, I feel like I'm listening to Reagan all the time.
Your Rich Little is very... Well, first off, he does sound
because
like Reagan.
Because Reagan and Rich Little
but your Rich,
sound the same.
Your Rich Little is a killer Rich Little.
Well, I'm going up to Canada, but everything he says sounds kind of like that. Sure. It's just, here's the impression I get when I think of Rich. I think of just ultra-conservative, you know, just so safe. So, you know, don't even say anything. And that's not really what comedy's all about.
Here's more of his opening cell, though.
Speaking of Canada. Hey.
Did he just say A like it was a joke?
He said A like Canada A, you know, like A, like Bob and Doug McKenzie. But he said it like, speaking of Canada, A.
All in the timing.
Did you hear what John McCain said about Canada the other day?
Well, this is his opening one.
Well, I like Canadians. I like Canada. I think they're good people. The only thing that I don't particularly like about Canadians is the way some of them come down across our borders and take jobs away from our Mexicans.
Do we have the hunting joke?
We got them all.
The hunting joke is, I didn't see it all, but I saw the hunting joke.
We have to break for someone more important.
Huh?
How can that be?
Is it another of my favorite comedians coming on the show?
No, it is not.
I'll take the bullet for the next person, okay?
Okay.
On an idol of mine.
Really?
An idol of mine.
Okay.
For two big reasons.
Oh.
Two major league reasons that I'm excited we're going to break away from my Rich Little coverage to talk to someone else.
All right, I mean, we're not going to give any indication of who this person is.
Mm-mm.
It's another surprise guest. Usually, if they're really big, we tell you who they are. I ask our audience to use their imagination.
Mike, I am not exaggerating when I say I was a TF'er back in the day. I TF'er today.
Bigger than Rich Little? Bigger T's?
Oh, yes, of course.
And, a bigger star?
Yeah.
Immeasurably so. Of course, you know, Carrot Top is a bigger star than Rich Little.
This is true.
Anyway,
spotlight on our celebrity hotline when we come right back. Okay?
Fantastic.
At least you're off the hook. You don't have to be nice to Rich Little.
That's fine.
And I think with the next person who's going to be on our celebrity hotline, you'll actually dig her. You'll find yourself saying, she's no Rich Little.
Well, what a setup that is. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah. Before she comes on, I'd just like to say Virginia Tech.
Yes, just to set the room upright. That's the way to do it.
Let's take a moment and think about Virginia Tech before we bring a really hot actress from yesteryear on the show.
Hot from yesteryear. And you said you'd still...
Goddamn right I would. You are goddamn right. You give me a can of whipped cream and this lady... I'm happy for 10 minutes.
You might need two cans.
Yeah, you might. At this point, you might need two cans.
See, that now you've whetted my appetite.
That's right.
I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
Okay, we got to hit this. We'll talk to her. We'll be right back.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike.
This is what you do. Go to Rotterdam. Then you go to Amsterdam. Then you go down the road to my city. That's right. It's a little place called I Don't Give a Damn.
The Don and Mike Show.
Subsisting on a solid diet of quickies. Don and Mike.
All right, are you ready, Mike?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
Right away.
I'm really excited to...
Here we go.
I like this. I like it when we have a mystery guest for me.
And she's not even a mystery guest. I'm just going to announce who she is.
So you're
going
to get right to it.
Yeah, it's like Rich Little with you.
Okay. But it's not.
Someone who
I'm
going to
be excited about this.
And have been very fond of for many years.
All right.
She's got a brand new book out. And she's got a DVD she's going to be promoting. And I first loved her in Swamp Thing. Here is Adrienne Barbeau.
Oh, lovely.
Now, did I sell it?
You sold it perfectly. I love this lady.
Adrienne
absolutely.
Barbeau. Hello.
Baby.
Oh, yes. We are hot for you. That's we can't say it any other way, Adrienne.
That's nice to hear.
I mean, that's really, and we have been for a long time.
And for those of us who like to take our Adrienne Barbeau seriously, and worship at the temple of Adrienne Barbeau in the Beach Towel Club, probably love Escape from New York with Kurt Russell. That perhaps, in your great career, the thing that I love the most. Anyway, Adrienne Barbeau, everybody. And ain't she wonderful?
How are you?
I'm great.
And she's written a book, and the Maud thing is out on DVD now.
Yeah.
So let's finally talk to the great Adrienne Barbeau. God, I want you.
That's all it's going to be.
I have wanted you since the first time I saw you on Maud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were probably 2 years old.
No, hold on. I'm almost 50.
Well, let's see.
That was, that really was. I mean, I guess, would you call it a spinoff of All in the Family? Because it was technically, wasn't it?
It was a spinoff, yes.
It was technically a spinoff, but it was so much different than a lot of spinoffs to follow, because it really was a show of its own. It really was kind of cutting edge, actually, in a lot of ways. Didn't it go a little further and blaze some new trails when Maud came out?
It really did. We dealt with everything from medical malpractice to plastic surgery to abortion. We were very much we were there, right there in the forefront of all of the hot potato issues. But we were funny, first of all.
Right.
So, you know, people watched because it was entertaining. We weren't beating anybody over the head with it.
You know, you see the shows now that are kind of satirical. You see shows like A Daily Show with Jon Stewart or the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. You see those shows. It seems to me that back in those days, you got the same thing. There's kind of a political agenda, and frankly, it was a left-leaning political agenda that was done through those kind of shows, through sitcoms, and you really don't see that at all anymore in situation comedies. It doesn't exist.
No, I mean, the climate of the country has changed so much. I mean, you couldn't get it on.
Yeah, probably
couldn't. And you wouldn't see the same kind of show even on cable, because I think if they were trying to do the same thing in comedy on cable, we'd be dealing with nudity and language and all of the things that we didn't have on Maud. So it was pretty unique, and it holds up, I think, if
sure
you watch
does.
The DVD.
But before we move on and talk about your new book, and we want to promote your book, which I don't know if you knew this, that Adrienne was originally in Greece, but before we get to that, and that's what the movie is about, I really have to know, what was it like when you were shacking up, dating, however you put it, Burt Reynolds? What was he like? And also, are you aware how many guys bought the DVD of Swamp Thing? just for you. You can answer both. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, the answer to the second question is I'm not aware of how many guys bought it. And actually, the original DVD of Swamp Thing was pulled almost immediately after it was released.
The thing is, it's Swamp Thing. Well, Buzz, you bought me the DVD.
I remember.
The reason I have the DVD is that Miss Barbeau is topless in it. And it's like the best 6 seconds of my life. it really, really is. Okay, and a lot of Adrienne.
And the answer to the first question is you got to buy the book.
There we go.
If you want to know about Bert.
All right, let's get to the book. Your book is called There Are Worse Things I Could Do. And is this a biography of your life?
It's a memoir. It's not a, soup to nuts autobiography with me. You know, I was born on such and such a day. It's a series of pieces of stories, most of them, I think, funny, and all of them sort of odd and unique, I think, because they're about experiences in my life that that were odd and unique.
I will tell you what it is about you that captured me and still captures me about you, is that you're very feminine and very beautiful, but you also have a very, I don't want to say tomboy side to you, because I don't want to in any way put you off, but you have a side of you that makes me think that if I was ever with you, that if I did anything, you would just like, just the hand would come out. It would be hand on your hand on my face, and it would be, and it would.
You mean
be,
you're saying you think she'd slap you around? Is
it
that
would
what
be
it is?
Okay with me? She, Adrienne Barbeau,
a tough lady.
I shouldn't say that, like she's not here. She's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
She's the perfect mix of being feminine mm-hmm. while being kick your ass at the same time.
Oh well, thank you very much.
And the other thing that I just Mike, did you know she's related to Stevie Van Zandt?
I didn't know that.
Steven is my brother-in-law.
Oh,
my husband,
that's right.
My husband's brother.
Right? Robbie,
yep.
Robbie told me that from The Sopranos.
How many brothers are in that family, Adrian?
There's just two.
Just Billy and
Steven. Just Billy and Steven,
okay.
Yeah.
All
there
right.
are a lot of other Van Zandts that show up, you know.
A big family,
but,
though, right?
They're not all related, yeah.
Hey, Adrian, can I ask you about a joke that we tell on the show all the time? You tell me if you think this joke is funny or not.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
What's the difference between Beatrice Arthur and an old shoe?
What's that?
You could eat an old shoe if you had to.
Bada bing! There it is. No, you don't have to laugh at that. That's right. I don't think you are, actually.
You don't have to laugh.
Well, I mean, you've had quite the ride in show business, though. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff. I mean, you really did come up the hard way, didn't you?
I've done a lot of different things, I think, which is not usual for most people. I mean, I've just bounced all over. I started out as a singer, you know, entertaining the armed forces in what was in those days the Orient, you know, Southeast Asia. And then I ended up then I ended up on Broadway, and the name of the book comes from the song that I sang in Greece. I was the original Rizzo, so Rizzo sings "There Are Worse Things I Could Do" in the second act.
You know, can I ask you a Broadway question? Because I think I may have seen you on Broadway, which is pretty cool. That's the first. As a matter of fact, it's how long did your run in Fiddler on the Roof last? How long were you in that show?
I was in Fiddler for 2.5 years, but I wasn't in the original company. The show had been running about 4 years when I went in. Bette Midler was playing Title, and I was playing Huddle. So I was there from 1968 until...
Was Topol playing the role of Tevye?
No.
Okay, so I didn't see
you. You didn't see. I was there with Harry Gause.
That's still in there. I really, as far as I'm concerned, that is still the greatest, will always be the greatest, and nothing touches it as far as a Broadway musical, and everybody should see it once in their lifetime.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
Well, now that I've been handed your biography, Adrian Jo Barbeau, and I like that, look at this. I'm only 12 years older than you are, darling. Or you're only 12 years older than me, I should say.
I'm 12 years older than you.
I mean, there's that's
so. Are you asking? Well, she's a happily married woman, though. I mean, you are happily married, right?
I am. Okay. I am the mother of 2 10-year-olds and a 23-year-old, but 10-year-old twins.
10-year-old twins.
Oh God, to be reborn as one of those children. Can you imagine, mommy? Mommy,
you're really infatuated with this woman.
You always have. Have I not? This is nothing new.
No, this is not. Well, we both are. I think we really are.
Yes, guys, Adrian, do you mind the fact that? And I hope you're not put off by that.
I mean, you are kind of a sex symbol. You really are, and you have been for a long time. So.
That most guys think, hey, you're funny, you're ballsy, you're a good actress. But the first thing you, Adrian Barbeau.
Whoa! I mean, do you get tired of that?
No, I don't.
Of course you don't.
Good.
I never really took it seriously, though, and in fact, I talk about it in the book. I never saw myself that way. I mean, a sex symbol to me was Sophia Loren or Raquel Welch, or you know, in the days that I was doing a lot of television, Lonnie Anderson. And if you look at my career, I have honestly. I've done two roles where I had a love scene. One was with a monster,
Right, right.
The other one was with a teenager. I mean, I was, you know, was in Carney Ball just a couple of years ago.
Well, you know, I'm curious.
Oh, yeah, you're good on that.
That was a great show. I'm curious when you're doing Maude, because really this is the way, and we're telling you the way guys our age were thinking about you when we were watching Maude. And I remember it very, very vividly. And I was curious as to, you know, in the great Hollywood machine, if there weren't producers or people in the business that were trying to, that ever approached you and kind of wanted you to go in that direction, or did it just not happen?
It never came up.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, it was just, I was, well, I signed to do Maude and I signed a 5-year contract. And,
right.
You know, I was just concentrating on trying to get laughs and be a good actress. And then when Maude went off the air, I wanted to do features. And in that was in 1978. And in 1978, if you were on television in a series, nobody would see you for film work, you know. So I had to turn down all of the TV work that was offered. And by that time, I had worked with John Carpenter, who I ended up marrying, and who wrote the first feature that I ever did,
right,
which was The Fog. And so somehow I sort of got typecast. I went from being a Broadway actor to a comedian, and then got typecast as a genre actress, you know, horror film scream queen. And each step has just been, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, really.
No rhyme or reason.
Well, how do you feel? I mean, really. I mean, I know what you
are. Hot as balls. You are just hot as balls, though.
How do you feel about your career, though? Seriously, you sound like you're kind of, I mean, I'm not sure I'm getting, are you happy with it? I mean, do you wish it had gone differently, or what?
I feel as though I have never worked a day in my life.
Okay.
I have just had such a good time. And then when the writing came along, which, again, I talk about it in the book, I sort of fell into completely without intent. I mean, I lost my closest friend to cancer, and I was just looking for something to do, and so I signed up for a writing class, never thinking in my life that I would ever end up writing. And,
about your book, which you mentioned here, it's called There Are Worse Things I Could Do. Get it on Amazon.com. We'll have a link on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. You mentioned when we brought up Burt Reynolds, it's in the book. Do you write anything in the book in any way that's unflattering about anybody that we would know?
Yeah, is there any dirt?
You'll have to read the book.
No, that's a yes. That's a good. That's it.
And if you don't want to read it, you can go to cdbaby.com and you can hear my voice. I did the audio book of it as well.
Oh,
well, that's great.
You know what I call that? I call that best of reading.
Well.
Hey, can I ask you one Maude question?
Sure.
You know, when you were doing that show, I never, you know, the whole, I was not aware of like tabloids or anything behind the scenes, and I don't think they had anything about that. But you had kind of a good tension with her on camera on that show. Did you have any tension with her off camera? I'm very curious, and please don't tell me I have to read the book.
No. I love B. I mean, we had, and I do talk about Maude quite, you know, there's a whole chapter there, but most of it is we really had a great time working together, all of us, and we're still all close friends.
She's a ballsy, brassy babe, isn't she?
She's a strong lady and a brilliant comedian. And she is, I mean, those are the feet at which I learned my craft, you know. The bare feet. He doesn't like to wear shoes.
She wore
bitch.
Oh, no. But she was not wonderful in terms of acting, but I didn't appreciate until later on when I guested on other series that she's an extremely professional actor, and the you know, we all loved showing up for work and doing the work. It was a good experience.
Well, and the last thing, again, I think I mentioned it, but Escape from New York, which went from being like a cult film to being a film that, you know, I really, when Escape from L.A. came out, I was like camping out for that and was like supremely disappointed, but that's neither here nor there. And that movie, Escape from New York, were you married to John Carpenter when you're making that movie?
I was. Yes.
Are you cool enough with your relationship with him, where you're not like Alec Baldwin and Kim?
Oh no, we're good friends.
Right. Then if we could talk about that for a second. What was that like? Because I remember when I saw that movie, I went, God, I have never seen anything quite like that. Where it's like half goof, half serious, and it was a movie that was so cool, not everybody knew about it, and if you knew about it, you were in the club.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Oh.
I know, it's a good question, isn't it? Or we could just talk about how you are just hot as balls.
Read the book.
Read the book? Okay,
read the book.
We
shot Escape from New York in St. Louis. I don't know if you know that.
I did not.
There is only one film, one scene in the film that was shot in Manhattan, and that's the scene that takes place at the Statue of Liberty. Everything else was St. Louis. John needed an area of the country that was really bombed out, and there was a part of St. Louis that was in pretty bad disrepair. And we spent... Well, I was only there about 3 weeks, I guess. I think the filming was only maybe six or seven altogether, but shot almost all of it there. Oh. And it was his second film with Kurt, I think. He had worked with Kurt. John directed the miniseries of Elvis with Kurt Russell.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yes, and that's,
did not know that.
That's how they met. And he had to fight to get Kurt into Escape because the studio wanted, Charles Bronson wanted to do it.
Oh.
And I think the studio wanted Tommy Lee Jones. And John,
it's amazing when you hear names that come up for roles in movies.
Right. Yeah.
Because if somebody's really established a character, then it just doesn't fit at all.
There's only one snake. It's Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yep. But he had just come off of doing the Disney films and Used Cars, I think. And so the studio wasn't seeing him as an action adventure hero at all.
But you're doing a lot of writing now. Are you going to do any more acting, or you know?
Yeah, I just finished doing Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Okay.
Good, 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 good.
And
cool.
I've got three other movies in the can waiting release, and two more that I'm going to start on in another month or so. Mm. And I've just turned in my first novel that I am co-writing. It's a vampire novel.
Oh, good. So you're still going to do a little of the... is that because of, you know, did you get inspired because you've done some of the Scream Queen stuff?
That's why I did it. You know, someone approached me and said, you should be writing for your 18 to 35-year-old fan base that goes to see The Fog and all of those. And so I sat down with a fellow named Michael Scott, who's from Ireland, and we wrote Vampires of Hollywood.
Jesus, you're busy.
It has truly been a pleasure. We have to break it. It truly has been a pleasure meeting you. Love you long time. the book is called There Are Worse Things I Could Do.
And if you want to find out about her and Burt Reynolds, it's in the book, right?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Good luck to you, Adrian. We really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Hot as balls.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. Very nice. That's a good one. You sold that one perfectly.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you made the comment about TF, I was like, oh, this is going to be somebody who's big and sloppy. And,
I just wrote a book based on her appearance.
Movie, so you know she's still keeping herself together. Yeah. You know that? You know she's...
I know she is.
Well, I'd like to see you.
She looked good on The View.
Did she look good on The View?
Yeah, and...
She was wearing slippers.
How about
me? Doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what didn't she just... Wow. B didn't like to wear slippers. Maude!
The bear.
What's that smell, Maude?
I was so impressed when I saw Bea Arthur come out on The View because she appeared to be a full head taller than everyone else.
All right, well, there's the beautiful Adrienne Barbeau, everybody.
Yeah, I share that fantasy with you. She's just kind of, she's got that whole Hollywood thing going where she's saying nice things about everybody. But, you know, that's amazing that they didn't steer her into that sex spot. Who wasn't watching Maude back, you know, people our age in the day going, right. I just want to see that button pop.
Okay, well, just let me say, Jergens time, 12 after 5. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I did you a favor. You do me a favor. Honey, I've got to have some marijuana.
Oh, put your shoes on, B.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
We know who.
How are you doing, Joe?
Duck, it's Paul, Don, and Mike.
Yeah, now listen, suck on that, losers.
Our commercial sets are at the same time, the same length, I should say, the same amount of time every time we go to break.
Every time.
3.5 minutes.
Right. It's the fastest 3.5 minutes in radio.
That's right. It's the speed round.
And we got 6 guys here working on the show, and we got 1 bathroom. And normally we're all very good about taking turns and getting into a regular rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as is my wont, when we go to commercial break, I'm always the last to go to the bathroom.
I actually, if I have to go, I shoot in there as soon as the we go to commercial, because I know you do the opposite. You go in at the end of the commercial.
Because what I do is I get a setup for the next break. I clean up all the stuff from the last break, get everything set up.
Right.
And as it turns out, I'm sitting here with Mike, and I said, I kind of pee so bad. And I looked, and I said, someone's been in the bathroom for over 5 minutes.
Right. Someone's taken the entire commercial break.
As I'm looking at the clock, knowing we're on break for 9 minutes, 9 minutes of commercials, there's now 7.5 minutes gone.
Yeah.
I go out to the hallway and I say, Joe, please, can you get out of there? I got to pee. We're going on the air in 2 minutes. And I hear a flush.
Mm-hmm.
Then I hear a courtesy flush.
Oh. Right.
Then the door opens and he says, I be a little smelly in there.
Oh, dear.
He was
lingering.
And I had,
he was lingering longer.
I had to take a leak, breathing through my mouth.
I know.
And as I left the room, I gasped for air.
Yes, been there.
And Rob came around the corner and immediately, from like 20 feet away, went for the spray.
Yeah, it's and we ought to have a can of spray in there. That should be
used to.
I'll fix that.
New rules.
Yeah.
There's an odor that could be seen from space. It's like the Great Wall of China.
We do well normally for 6 guys. You're absolutely right. We do very well.
I think
here.
They're mostly morning guys.
Joe, what did you eat?
I think Joe's
weekend?
A big violator.
Joe, what did you eat this weekend, Joe?
Or drink?
Miller Lite. A lot of barbecue and Miller Lite.
And it might not be what he ate this weekend. It might be what he ate for lunch. Did you remember the barbecue chicken he had?
Oh,
remember
yeah,
that
big
fat
bag,
little barbecue chicken?
Joe, how fast does food work through your system?
Oh, 24 hours or so.
So
feed him some corn. Let's chart it.
What we were just smelling, was that yesterday? Was that from yesterday?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Joe, how many times a day is normal for you? Once, twice?
Once in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to ask.
Well, once in the morning, that has been, that's obviously a departure today.
Is right. 5 o'clock the morning for you?
If you're Bart.
P.M.?
5 p.m.
What
Saturday
happened today?
Sunday it might be.
Since I share a computer keyboard with him, I really don't want to ask this question, but I feel I must.
Yes, you must.
When you rushed him out of there and you say you heard the sounds of 2 flushes, any sounds of pumping soap or running water?
I must be honest, I did not hear that.
How about that?
Let's find out. Let me ask.
Isn't that something?
I washed my hands.
Hi, Joe.
All right, he claims he washed his hands.
Well, we've got a luxurious one-staller bathroom here. It's
plenty of room.
I'll tell you, it's a fairly decent flushing element. It's got that vacuum flush that
and
we
all
like.
And that's what made me worry, because Joe had to go with the courtesy flush.
Yes. Right.
Which meant that industrial airplane-style that could suck your intestines out. If that doesn't get rid of all the poop.
Yeah, it's like a train or a plane.
And
bathroom.
We've got interesting hot water in that bathroom. It's not your normal, it's not like tapped into the hot water.
Hot overstates it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, what is, the water is heated by like a little heater under the sink?
About the size of a cigar box.
Right. Yeah, that's not hot water. I've never had hot water.
I've never had real hot water.
It's warmer than the cold water.
Yeah, it's warmer than, that's exactly what it is.
There.
Warmer than the cold water.
I wouldn't want to do dishes in it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Forget it.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello there. Hi.
You know when Joe washed his hands, it sounded something like this.
Well, I don't think he washed his hands in the toys way.
I don't think so. Well, you know, if you have to, you could. You could. Rob's putting the Purell on.
Purell for everyone.
Everybody enjoy the Purell.
At first, I thought maybe he was having a Barbeau moment.
Yeah.
I know, as it turns out,
understandable.
He could have been having a Barbeau moment.
Which would gross you out more?
Probably if it was both at the same time.
Good answer.
Well said.
We haven't ruled that out.
The Barbeau moment would gross me out.
for the workspace, a little more unnatural.
Yuck. Hold on, we never got back to Rich Little. Let's get back to these tapes because these are time sensitive.
Okay, I wanted to say one thing about this. If you play the joke that he had, he's on a Canada thing and he tells a joke about Canadian hunters. And that is, you want to talk about, this is when he really does lose the crowd.
Which cut is that
one? Train joke. It's cut nine.
Number nine, okay.
Want to hear a bad one?
Here's Rich Little bombing at the White House Correspondents' Dinner Saturday night.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan? Now, that's cold up there. Three Canadian hunters were out in the woods one cold afternoon. And the first Canadian hunter says, "Look at this, Charlie. Deer tracks here, right in the snow. We got deer here. This is our lucky day." Second Canadian hunter says, "Deer? Are you crazy? I've been hunting all my life. Those are elk tracks. We got elk here." Third Canadian hunter says, "Elk? Deer? Those are moose tracks. Moose, for heaven's sakes. No, they're not. They're elk. No, that's deer. No, it's moose." Anyway, while they're arguing, a train comes along and hits them.
Uh-huh.
Did you people get this? They're train tracks.
Explain it to Dream.
At this table over here, did you get that? No, you didn't.
Wow.
You lie.
Cricket City.
Ooh,
God damn.
Oh,
hold on, there's a lot more
God.
To this tape, though.
Now, I like to fancy myself as pretty on jokes and things
well,
like
we've
that.
Well, we've had to make a laugh segment. We hear a lot of jokes. It's not the right punchline.
Did you get that?
I didn't get it at all.
I didn't get it either.
You didn't tell it right, I don't think. No, because you don't say a train comes along and hits them.
Right.
No, it's not. Oh, I know that joke. That joke's probably 100 years old.
He's got about a minute more that he goes on with.
Oh, good.
Let's hear that.
Wait till you hear him bounce out of this.
Then we'll analyze the joke.
You didn't get that. Are you from the New York Times? You're from the Times and you got that? Three copies of Culture Warrior are going out to you tomorrow. Because we're looking out for you.
Oh.
You know, it's hard to know who to impersonate up here for you tonight because everybody's got a favorite, and
somebody,
I do around 200 impressions.
Somebody funny, please.
I mean, I could possibly do somebody like, and he's perfect for an impression because he's larger than life, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they meet me, they're intimidated by me.
Is this painfully bad?
It is painful.
Is this like if your uncle got up at your wedding and was drunk and started doing shtick and everybody wanted to say, "Please, Uncle Harry, sit down"?
Yeah. The joke, you tell a joke like that,
right,
Canadian
now,
joke. And
let's go back and analyze the Canadian joke.
I think, here's my theory on this. I'm not a good joke teller either.
Tell me what you think the joke is.
All right, I don't know what I think is. It's an old joke. And I also think that jokes, you can read jokes in print. You can hear them on the air. You can hear them, you know, at a cocktail party, somebody tells a joke. You're going to have sometimes different punchlines. They're going to be structured differently. My point is that's an old joke. It's not that funny to start with, but it's destroyed completely when you don't have the right punchline. And do you get the same impression I do, Rob, that punchline, he's just got it wrong.
He's
there's
got
something
it
wrong about it.
I've been thinking about it, and I think what you need to say, and it's still not funny. I don't think it can be made
funny.
No,
it can't be funny because the joke is they're arguing about tracks,
right,
and they're on train tracks.
He never said that they're standing in the tracks. That's
right.
The problem. He just says they see tracks.
Let's hear it again from the top. Let's all really analyze this.
One more time.
Because I really didn't follow it.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Okay. Three Canadian hunters.
Three Canadian hunters.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
All right, that's a worthless fact.
You're
right. That's worthless.
Three Canadian hunters.
Three hunters.
Were out in the
hunters.
Woods one cold afternoon.
There are three Canadian hunters in the woods one cold afternoon.
And the first Canadian hunter says, "Look at this, Charlie. Deer tracks here, right in the snow."
Okay. Deer tracks in the snow.
The
right.
"We got deer here. This is our lucky day." Second Canadian hunter says, "Deer? Are you crazy? I've been hunting all my life. Those are elk tracks. We got elk here." Third Canadian hunter says, "Elk? Deer? Those are moose tracks. Moose, for heaven's sakes. No, they're not. They're elk. No, no, that's deer. No, no, it's moose. Anyway, while they're arguing, a train comes along and hits them.
Hold on. Yeah.
Did you people get this?
Okay. Here's exactly the joke that he told. Hey, Mike, and I'll really condense it for you.
All right.
There are three guys from Canada that are out. That they're out in the middle of the woods,
mm-hmm.
and one of them says, "Look, it's deer track. That's good. We can find some deer." And the other guy says, "No, that's moose track." And the other guy says, "No, that's squirrel track." And then a train hits them.
That's it.
Well, don't you get the joke?
Yes. There's no fixing it.
There isn't any fixing it.
And never start a punchline with anyway.
Yes.
This doesn't work.
And now that I fully don't
understand. Wait, you know, here's a guy, seriously.
Uh-huh.
We can call him dated and lame, but here's a guy that has performed in nightclubs. He has done this before.
Big time.
He's got to have better crap than that to dole out.
And not
but
only
he
that,
didn't.
There's no excuse to muff that, because I guarantee he's told that joke.
Muff.
5,000 times.
Yeah. Muff diver.
Oh, the dive.
All right, let's hear him again. Wiggle his way out of it, because now that I understand...
Then he's doing the New York Times thing, and then he's, you know, he's doing off, the liberal...
off the joke is...
They're train tracks. In the... Did this table over here? Did you get that? No, you didn't.
And then between every one of his stupid jokes, he sings this.
Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C., and the big White House and the Congress halls and the U.S. Treasury.
Shut up!
The capital city of the wise and the witty has presidents by galore.
Okay, shut up!
Republicans and right. Democrats and bureaucrats galore. Yeah.
Shut up!
What? Now, this is remedial, like, this is three-year-old songwriting 101. You don't say galore twice.
No.
Everyone's talking about the joke, I think.
Oh, can they correct it?
I'm sure. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
We have the technology?
Hello.
Hey, yeah, I got that Shrek joke for you.
Yes, go ahead.
And it's a Polack, a French guy, and an Indian guy, and they're out hunting. The Indian guy goes out, catches a big deer. They say, "How'd you catch such a big deer?" "I see tracks, I follow tracks, I catch a big deer." French guy goes out, says the same thing. Polack goes out, comes back all black and blue and bloody. "I see tracks, I follow tracks, I get hit by a train."
Funnier than, the, I mean, really, it's still an old joke.
Funnier than that guy sucked, and he was funnier than
yes,
Little.
Yes, absolutely.
Better.
And I like the way he got right through it for us. Yeah. That was nice.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I think I have an idea how to correct that joke.
Well, it starts with the execution of Rich Little.
that's absolutely true. I can't make it better, but I think
the execution of Rich Little.
The public execution.
Now I'm laughing.
Yeah, put that on C-SPAN.
The public beheading.
I'd like to thank everyone for my wonderful career.
Anyway, what? What? Hello?
So I think what somebody has to do is ask what kind of tracks they are after they argue about them for a little while. One of the guys has to say, okay, what kind of tracks are they?
Yeah.
And then the train comes along.
Better
right.
setup.
Okay,
than,
right.
Then anyway.
Thank you.
I like it with a Pollock.
Hello, Donna Muncho.
Sure,
hello.
Yes, I've got the punchline.
Yes, what is it, hon?
The Aristocrats.
Thank you.
That's good.
Good.
Thank
excellent.
God.
Something will make some sense.
Thank We're you, here Mike. For some yucks. The comedian sucks, and my ass is tighter than wire.
The Aristocrats.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
No.
No, not again.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
No.
From Saskatoon, Saskatshewan.
Oh, shut up!
Three Canadian hunters were out in the woods one cold afternoon. Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C.
Shut up!
Faggot.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
There were three Canadian hunters.
President wow. Bush called the performance absolutely perfect.
Yeah, of course.
He's utterly retarded.
There you go on
My
that.
Ear I will bend, I will not offend, and I will be totally lame.
You know what? Against my better judgment, because I know that porch setting is one of our best bits.
Yes, it is.
We'll do it tomorrow because the weather will be good.
Another spectacular day is on tap for tomorrow. Mm. And that's what Rich Little would say. Another fine day on tap for tomorrow.
We'll come back. We've got to hear a little more of Rich Little.
Wow.
At the correspondence dinner.
Okay. I drove in a truck, and now I really
suck. Just speaking of us. And goddamn, so many things are happening today. What have I written? Buzz, during the news.
Yes.
I'm sure you won't mention this. Who died and made Sheryl Crow king of the world?
I read about this. If you want to handle it, please go.
No. If you're going to have it during the news, even better, because also, what the hell is Larry David's wife doing?
Laurie David, she produced An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's movie.
Yeah.
That's why she was there.
I mean, I'm aware, but... Yeah. Still, you know.
Buzz will snipe, Sheryl Crow will wipe, we will all have a really good time.
All right, you'll cover that.
I will.
What about blacks hating Al Sharpton, though?
I read about that today, but I hadn't planned on covering it.
I would love to talk about that at some point.
Right.
And I love making just a generic statement like that. All blacks have now decided they hate Al Sharpton.
Well, those broad strokes work very well.
Alec Baldwin, we've talked about him, Sangina, and also something to do with Eddie Van Halen. All of that.
Oh, Eddie, have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I have.
And then he was hit by a train.
Because he was following the elk track.
You know, as a matter of fact.
Laying down tracks.
Why don't we put up on DonnaMikeWebsite.com, this will be the only thing from today's news that we put up, will be the before and after pictures of Eddie.
That's good.
Here is a before picture. when he claims he was still on drugs and booze. Okay?
That's a good one. And then, note the teeth.
And then here is the after picture when he's at a NASCAR race.
It's truly an amazing ad for rehab.
You gotta look at these pictures. They'll be in the daily log of today's Don and Mike Show website.com section.
I can't tell which is before and which is after.
Wow.
And meanwhile, you know, and Valerie Bertinelli, speaking of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, she was at the thing too,
right?
And did you know that she's a spokesperson for Jenny Craig? She does not look fat to me at all.
The commercials are pretty funny. Have you seen the commercials?
I hear she looked great. She's trying to lose weight, but she's still Eddie Van Halen's whore.
And they have the commercial with Kirstie Alley.
I don't know. I'm just trying to
singing.
You're trying to end that little
galore.
Thing.
Galore.
Whore galore.
Whore galore.
Kirstie Alley picks up the phone and says, "Hi, I'm not fat anymore, but my friend Valerie Bertinelli is."
Oh.
So, and they're doing that. But she had four plates last night at the dinner.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Little. Welcome to the show. I've been told I better not say nappy headed hoe. Now I'm laughing.
Right.
Now
eating her would be really neat, but I'd much rather see Adrian D. And I'm Rich Little. Come to Canada with me.
D, cover those feet.
Oh, God.
That also rhymes with the other stuff you're saying.
And you can eat an old shoe.
And the first Canadian hunter says, "Look at this, Charlie.
No!
Deer tracks here, right in the snow.
Oh.
We got deer here. This is our lucky day."
Oh,
second
God.
Canadian hunter says, "Deer, are you crazy? I've been hunting all my life.
Those are
elk tracks. We got elk here." Third Canadian hunter says, "Elk? Deer, those are moose tracks. Moose, for heaven's sakes. No, they're not. They're elk. No, that's deer. No, it's moose." Anyway, while they're arguing, a train comes along and hits them. Did you people get this?
Oh, that lady that called with the aristocrats.
Is this table over here?
All I'm thinking, man, is if somebody told that joke,
you lost.
Bob Saget telling the aristocrats joke.
Are you from the New York Times?
Rich Little, everybody.
Hi.
Rich Little.
He had lots more to say, Don.
He did. We'll do that. We'll cover it, Mike, when we come right back.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Chuck Willery, who's on Love Connection today?
Our next guest is originally from Bentonville, Illinois. He enjoys cold beer and hot music. Says that he and his mom don't see eye to eye on his love life. And he claims that his job has cost him several relationships. Please welcome Robert Faggot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Funny every time.
Oh, Willery.
The stars of Quest for Fire. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And just Chuck Willery makes me think the way that I think Hank Kingsley, because I think of the tape from Larry Sanders where Hank Kingsley says, "I happen to know some of the most powerful people in Hollywood.
Get me Chuck Willery on the phone."
I was just telling Mike and Robbie, and I'll tell everybody listening now, seriously, do yourself a favor and buy that new Larry Sanders box that's out.
I'm on it.
Here's the thing. If you're like a fan of the Larry Sanders Show, there's a section in there, besides commentary, and a really great part where it's Gary Shandling,
mm-hmm.
and Rip Torn and Jeffrey Tambor, mm-hmm. the three stars of the show,
right.
who are sitting around describing Artie and Larry and Hank, and they have deleted scenes in which you really see, as they taped the show, the line between Gary Shandling and Larry Sanders.
Which is a pretty, there's not a real far distance to travel between those two guys, right? The character and Gary Shandling himself.
There's one part, there's a deleted scene of about 10 minutes long with David Duchovny, which they originally shot for the final episode of Larry Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't make air for whatever reason. It was long and it was dirty as hell. But as it goes on, at one point, the jokes just stop, and you see Larry Sanders, Gary Shandling, do a retake, like resetting it up, going
pickup. Yeah.
So the X-Files movie is coming out, and David Duchovny refuses to play along and keeps talking about how he's wearing a kilt and he's got nothing on under his kilt and keeps wanting to touch Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders.
Uh-huh.
So they get done doing this fake segment for the TV show.
Right.
Where they go, David Duchovny. And what you don't realize is that even though you're seeing the cameras rolling, the scene is over.
Okay. And they're going out of character.
But you don't know that because it's still Larry and Hank sitting at the desk. And at one point, Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders, says to Hank, Jeffrey Tambor, "Wow, was it me or is it? That was effing hilarious, wasn't it?" And Jeffrey Tambor says, that guy's incredible.
Yeah.
He's an effing nut. And then Larry says, "Do you want a mint?" Just like Larry Sanders would say. And then you realize that it's the real Gary Shandling talking.
Right. To Jeffrey Tambor.
That the moment is over. And I picked up like when he says, "Hey, Jeff." And sometimes Jeffrey Tambor says, "Hey, Larry," or "Hey, Gary."
Right.
It's very confusing.
I would imagine for all the cast members besides Gary Shandling, that had to be tough because you see Gary Shandling on Letterman, you see him in real life.
Right.
That's kind of...
call him Gary.
That's what he is.
Right. Anyway, pretty fascinating, I think it is, with lots of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
And a great show for people that haven't seen it. If you haven't seen show, it was one of the greatest shows on TV.
If you never have, it's got some of the best. And without ruining it for you, spoiler alert, it has an alternative ending to the last episode of Gary Shandling.
I don't even remember the last episode of
Larry
Sanders,
Gary Shandling. That I thought was brilliant.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
I don't know why they didn't use it.
And we were talking about it this weekend. I remember the name of that actress. It's Ileana Douglas.
Right.
Yeah.
Ileana Douglas, who plays his wife?
Love interest towards the end of the last season, right?
I was on the phone with Rob. Bart and I were on the phone with Rob, mm-hmm. trying to describe this alternate ending. Mm-hmm. And I, for the life of me, could not remember the woman who was in the scene with Gary Shandling.
She's mysteriously attractive. She shouldn't be, but I think she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
And
that's like his regular, right? His solid regular love interest on the show.
No, this is at the end.
Oh, at the end. Okay. All right. But he watches his show with her back.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, it's really great. It's out there. So rent it. And that's why we talk like about Hank and, you know, Hank's Look Around Cafe.
You know, that is a show. And that's a show really, in retrospect, that when it went out as quickly as it did, maybe that's a good thing. Because, I mean, that was such a good show. I would hate to see that get burned. It was heading down that way.
Anyway, it's out there, and it's great. Of course, it's not as good as Rich Little was.
I don't agree.
At the White House Correspondents'
I think
Dinner.
It was fine, for heaven's sake.
You want to hear the cut that says 5.5, 6 presidents? What is that, Rob?
Oh, because I was numbering them in order, and I skipped one, so it's number 5.5. But this is when he does 6 presidents.
Okay, which is the next worst one that we haven't heard yet? Can he possibly top that bad joke?
He does okay with Reagan. Does okay with Reagan.
Do you really want your skin to crawl?
Yeah.
All right, listen to him doing Nixon singing.
What cut?
Oh, number 14.
I haven't heard this moment.
This really is sick.
I've not heard this. Rich Little.
For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not.
Hold on. Foul.
What?
Tell us. I went with my father to see David Fry
a million
years ago.
Did he really?
And David Fry played a video
or, you know, a film, a short film, of David Fry doing Nixon singing My Way.
Oh, well, it's like Carlos, what's her name? Yes, that's right.
We're getting it all from somebody else. It was actual footage, and I'll never forget. You know why I remembered it? Because there's that line in that song, My Way, I Ate It Up and Spit It Out, and they were using actuality footage of Richard Nixon, where he was eating a hot dog and he spit it out.
So in essence, what you are saying is...
I remember, I was a child when I saw this.
At this point, Rich Little is lifting a routine that an impressionist did 40 years ago.
I have no idea whether it's true or not, but I know, I guarantee you, that was the song, and that's what I heard David Fry do at in Hartford a million years ago.
Well, remember, we established a week ago this very day that the late David Fry and Rich Little were not friends.
That's true. And it's right. The late right. David Fry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And through it all.
Effer.
I made mistakes.
So he's doing Nixon here.
If only I.
He's not even as good as the guy that did Nixon on the I Miss Show.
Well, Ibis. I'm sorry.
But it is Richard. There is kind of a statute of limitations, isn't there?
Yeah.
Erase those tapes.
Oh, my God.
The record show.
And erase the tapes joke?
I took the blow. And did it my way.
You suck, Rich.
It is nice to steal from the dead. That is polite applause. That's that.
You blow. Let's hear some more. Imagine that. Now, you're one of the people that cops this ticket.
Yeah.
And for those of you around the country who don't know, this is as close as you come to the Academy Awards in D.C.
Hot ticket here.
I mean, there's always celebrities there.
Yep.
And you get there and you think, boy, I'm going to see somebody like Steve Colbert or somebody's really just going to cutting edge. Yeah. Or even... Stupid Sanjaya this year. Sanjina.
Right.
He's there.
Yep.
Everybody's crawling up his prostate. And then your evening is ruined because you got to listen to this guy.
Do you know who else I could do for you tonight? And I love. You thought Colbert was bad. I love.
That they applaud. Is that right? Yes, Colbert was bad.
He was bad. We're so glad we cleaned it up and sanitized it.
This is
what happens when you sanitize comedy.
Amen. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is exactly what happens. You get this.
Let me say, the FCC would love this guy on the radio.
Get back to Branson, ass hat.
I love to do this guy, Andy Rooney from 60 Minutes.
Okay, well, at least we know who Andy Rooney is. Let's see how good it is, how timely the material is. Listen.
That little curmudgeon that you see at the end of 60 Minutes every week. The thing about Andy is... He's always asking questions. Everything with Andy Rooney is why. Here's a few things that bother me.
I've never heard a take like this before. Have you? This is brilliant, groundbreaking comedy.
This is truly brilliant. Edge.
I mean, when you've got the thing of a lifetime, when you're in front of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and incidentally, you're doing a show for the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Bring out your A stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a shame that Joe Piscopo didn't do this in 1982. Oh, wait. He did.
Yeah. Oh.
Get off. You're scared half to death twice. What would happen to you?
Wow. Painfully bad.
If you want to grow seedless watermelons, what the hell do you plant?
Ugh.
Here's something else that I don't understand. How do deer know to cross those little yellow signs?
Is there something? I'm getting dangerously close to changing my stance on gun control.
Wow.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
You ever wondered about that? Fun. This is stupid. If those signs were intended for deer, they would have been printed in deer language. Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C.
Oh, God.
And the big White House and the Congress halls and the U.S. Treasury.
Treasury!
Here's how he ends it all.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Oh, I didn't hear that.
Here's the jive closing. Okay, so he does his
shit. Does he get like patriotic and schmaltzy at the end?
It's less than a minute long. Okay. Here's how he winds up his show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your reaction.
Right.
Thank you.
Listen to that tepid applause.
I appreciate your reaction.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Stuff that comedians don't say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your reaction.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your reaction.
Right.
Thank you for inviting me here today. And, you know, it's good to laugh. I know we're going through troubled times right now,
yeah,
but
okay.
You got to laugh and you got to smile and take your mind off, you know, things that are going on.
What?
So if I made you laugh or smile for the last half hour,
you didn't.
It was all worthwhile.
You didn't.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
Boo!
Boo!
Don't come back.
You know, I wasn't mad that you did that to me last week, and now I am mad that you did that to me last week. What a stain.
Listen.
What? Because I'm oh, God, I'm angry.
Yeah. Here's funny.
Our top winner in the showcase is gay.
See?
That's a belly laugh from that.
This is funny.
When the time comes for me to make the phone call, I stop whatever I'm doing, and I go when I make that phone call.
That's funny.
Do you have hair in your special place?
That's funny.
Tonight will be funny. We'll talk about Cunny.
This is not funny. But the more we play it, it gets funnier.
It gets addictive, doesn't it?
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan?
Is it cold up there?
It's cold up there.
Is it? Okay.
Three Canadian hunters.
Hunters.
Out in the woods.
Well, now you know. Right after the Maori fire eaters. The aerial photographs of Kate Smith.
Mike, it's a combination of the three. It's a combination of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
He's got some Johnny in there.
And he's got some Ed Sullivan.
And he's got some Ed Sullivan.
That's the way he... That's Rich Little. That's the way he sounds all the time.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Can I, you know?
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Is it cold up there?
Cold up there.
Yeah.
Three Canadian hunters.
Hunters.
Were out in the woods one cold afternoon.
Right here.
Right here
the
on
first
this
Canadian
stage.
Hunter says, look at this, Charlie.
Shut up!
I'm
deer
an ass
tracks here, right in the snow. We got deer here. This is our lucky day. Second Canadian hunter says,
Rich Little.
Deer? Are you crazy? I've been hunting all my life.
You're a Canadian.
Those are elk tracks. We got elk here.
Elk here.
Third Canadian hunter says,
he's a
elk.
Jackass.
Deer, those are moose tracks.
Cumberland River
moose,
City.
Moose, for heaven's sakes.
Here we go.
No, they're not. They're elk.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Everybody be quiet, because here comes the belly laugh.
No, that's deer. No, it's moose. Anyway, while they're arguing,
I'm sorry.
A train comes along and hits them.
Here's...
Did you people get this?
No. This is not funny. Do you realize how good we made him appear on our show last week?
I think he was on for like 36 minutes.
Wow. On our show or on the correspondence?
On the correspondence day ass. Seemed like 36.
Wow.
Oh, that's probably 36 with Bush's remark.
Wow. Remarks.
Look at those bazooms.
Right. Oh, yeah. Where's Bush?
Adrian Barbeau.
Here's Bush giving the best lead-in of all time.
There's
not that he didn't
Bush.
Suck enough.
And right. I was looking forward to doing a little poking myself. But in light of this week's tragedy at Virginia Tech,
ouch.
I decided not to be funny.
And now here's Rich Little.
You know what? You can hear the audience. They think that even that's a play.
Right.
They think he's maybe going to come back.
And be funny.
And there's nothing.
No, he was right. He's not going to be funny.
Here's the funny.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan?
Oh, is everybody happy?
No.
This is really annoying.
All that is left is to talk about death and introduce the king of lame. Jesus.
The youngest living person he did, I think, was Andy Rooney.
I won't make jokes because things people have been through have gone through a lot of pain. Now it gives me pleasure to give you the measure of a man known as the human stain. Rich Little.
He's great. He was hit by a train.
Well, now you know.
Hello, who is this?
Topo Gigio.
Is this on? Hello, he was hit by a train.
Do you work for the... New York Times. Just trying to
Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C.
Eat me!
In the big White House, on the Congress halls, in the U.S. Treasury.
Douchebag!
Capital city of the wise and the witty has presidents by galore.
No talent.
Republicans and Democrats and bureaucrats galore.
Yeah, hack.
By the score. Wouldn't it be great if he had just gone up there? You know what I would like to talk about? They wanted me to be safe, but I'd really like to talk about the first lady who keeps herself in great shape. She's got a great ass.
I would have liked to hear him do about 20 minutes on boot cake.
Boot cake. You see, it's a Japanese tradition. Right here, I'll demonstrate it for you.
Look at this photo.
Well, now you know the Maori fire eaters, the aerial photographs of Kate Smith, the flying Walendas. There they are, you know, the flying Walendas.
Well, as we've stated a thousand times, well, let me just do it here with Buzz. Here's what Bush did to Buzz.
Okay.
Or what Bush did to
Rich Little.
We'll do to Buzz now.
Okay.
Well, I just want to say we've had a pretty good show today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only a week ago that we had the tragedy at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So let's turn it over to Buzz.
Buzz. Lots of laughs tonight on the news. Stick around. You got any jokes about Canadian hunters? There were three of them, and they were headed into the woods, and one of them spotted some tracks.
Wait a second. What part of Canada were they in?
Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where it's very, very cold.
Oh, okay.
Very cold. I thank you for your reaction.
Yeah. I'm President Bush. What happened in Virginia Tech was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make fun of myself or make any jokes. Now here's Rich Little.
Three Canadians. Thank you, Mr. President. I really am happy to be here. I just did heroin and puked on my tuxedo. What do you think of that? Stuffed shirt, fat asses, tight asses that can't take a joke.
Would it have been great? First it was Michael Richards, then Mel Gibson, then Don Imus, and now Rich Little, who went crazy with racial epithets at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm here down from Canada. Just a moment ago in the green room, I saw Karl Rove banging Sangina in the bad place.
Comedian Rich Little arrested for indecent exposure at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
You're all gay. Gay, gay, gay.
That's it.
N-word, N-word, N-word.
N-word, gay, N-word, gay.
N-word.
Hose, hose.
N-word. And I'm packing heat. I'm carrying a gun.
He's just trying to make a
I look. Just made. I just soiled myself. Look. And here it is in my own hand.
Oh,
sorry, I'm
no,
late.
I was kidding. It was actually a baby Ruth.
Sorry, I'm late to the dinner. I performed three abortions.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your reaction.
Yes.
Thank you for inviting me here today. And, you know, it's good to laugh. I know we're going through troubled times right now. But
on behalf of my wife and I, let me just say that Christians suck. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Do you think the troubled times he refers to is the monologue
yeah.
he just did?
Yes, troubled times.
I know what it's time for now.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Time for the news. All right.
That's a retard, isn't it? Didn't you just play a retard? I'm Rich Little. Come up to Canada. We'll have a good old gay time. A good old gay Saskatoon, Saskatchewan time.
I heard about three guys from Canada, Rich.
It's cold up there. Three Canadian hunters on the train tracks and their butts were bleeding.
We'll be back with Buzz's news.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here's the part with Bush. Here's what we're looking for.
At a memorial service on Tuesday, I told the university community that people all over this country are thinking about him, and many are praying for him. And so, really, this dinner comes at a good time. It's been a tough week for a lot of folks, particularly the folks in Virginia Tech. And so I'm not going to try to be the funny guy, but I had the opportunity to introduce one who will be.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
That's what you want to see when you're a comedian. That's the kind of intro you want.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
They will make you sacramental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What not?
Hey, Joe.
What not?
Love a beverage.
What not?
Joe.
What not?
Or are you busy once again?
What not?
Making our septic system go crazy.
He's busy beefing.
Thank you, Joey. And now, here are the news. Here's Buzz Little. Hi, Buzz.
I'm going to turn this around. Three Canadian hunters.
No.
Now, how about that Carol Crow?
Carol Crow?
Yes.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
There they are.
You know, I think that tape, if we don't burn it out too fast,
right,
could have a shelf life just the opening.
The three Canadian hunters.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Singer Sheryl Crow is proposing one way to save the planet is to limit the use of toilet paper. From Sheryl Crow's Earth Day blog, I quote, "In the area of forest conservation, which rely on for oxygen, I propose a limit on how many squares of toilet paper can be used in one sitting."
Oh, I gotta have a clean bottom, I'm sorry.
Quoting Sheryl, "I think we are an industrious enough people, we can make it work with only one square per restroom visit."
One square?
One Please. Square.
Try living a day in my rectum. you could not... one square? Are you...
Is there any man that could go with one square?
No.
It's impossible.
The whole plate? The whole tray? The whole
square?
I can't use one square.
I could do one square if it was a 4-foot square.
I've been known to take care of a good part of a roll in one sitting.
I can name Absolutely.
That, I can name that tune in one square.
Have you ever pulled out so much paper that it's just like, you almost get like a, you know at the Super Bowl where they have those big gigantic stick figures that kind of blow in the wind,
right?
Where you get so much toilet paper going up in the air.
Yeah, it looks like a kite, streamers.
Yes.
It has a kite effect.
Like a Chinese kite, like one of those crazy Chinese kites.
Yeah, I mean, and you know the primary, here's the primary reason. The primary reason for using a lot of, for me, is to keep your hand away from the bad place.
That's right.
That's the whole reason I use it. I use it as a buffer zone.
Did you wash your ass today?
Think of me as using a pillow to take care of things.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
One square per restroom visit, except, of course, she goes on to say, on those pesky occasions when two or three could be required.
And don't forget don't forget that great Seinfeld episode where Elaine, is it that Elaine won't give a girl one little ply, or is that the girl won't give Elaine one single square?
A little ply.
That's right, it's that Jerry's girlfriend.
Yeah.
We can only assume Sheryl Crow is serious.
How many squares do you think Newman would require?
How many rolls, you mean?
Hello, Newman. As beautiful as she is and everything with Sheryl Crow, please, one square?
For Sheryl Crow, she only needs one.
I don't think so, Buzz. Your nose knows. You know what I'm saying?
Well, some women are different in that they can take care of business like rabbits.
Yeah, but what, you mean to tell me she never has a nice big steak?
Of course she does. I would think. Well, is she probably one of those vegans?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well then you know what?
So what if she eats? Goes to a vegan Indian restaurant? There's all that curry to consider.
You know, I'll give you a good example. A wonderful gal named Anna. Hi, Anna. She's marrying my nephew Ben.
Oh, right.
We got together with him over the weekend. She's as vegan as you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. You know what she had with her dinner? Corn dogs. Corn dogs.
Yeah,
cheese.
Bingo.
Now I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. That's not a one square meal.
You're not going to process a corn dog and require one square.
If that's at least a five
square. Let's imagine one square, not even functional.
Yeah.
What about your fingers ripping through it?
And what if? I was just going to say, what if it was only one ply?
Yeah.
Because
don't you always like people either fold or crinkle? We've had that discussion before.
Right. You can't fold one square. You'll have like a half an inch
soak through.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
There you go. Thank you for that. A palate cleanser, if you will. If you know anything about me, it's that I like to know what scares children.
You like alarming people, Bud.
A new survey of middle-class schools shows that today's kids are more than twice as worried about global warming than they are about terrorism.
Oh, and here's what they had to say.
Hey, you know something?
No, what?
I had a dream last night.
So did I.
Oh, Rich!
I did.
So did Junior Soprano.
Corrado. Well, when they surveyed the kids, climate was worry number one at 57%, terrorism 22%. Only 6% fear car crashes, and that's the most likely danger.
And I'm fearing a toilet paper shortage.
That's not what scares my kids.
What scares your kids, though?
When Carrie doesn't listen.
Yeah, rightly so.
Thunderous.
Are you ready to pay $4 a gallon or more?
Is there a category when daddy slides into bed with you?
Oh.
I was speaking from a young boy's perspective.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry. That's just me. That's a repressed memory.
Now, that's not the kind of thing we want at the correspondence dinner.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
That you said too much. Yeah, $4 a gallon.
Let's change the topic.
All right. Are you ready to pay $4 a gallon or more for gasoline?
Oh, come on, Buzz. I'm American. You're goddamn right I am.
Well, I know you are. Gas prices have gone up 8 cents in the last 2 weeks, faster than they have since hurricanes, including Katrina, wiped out some of our refineries.
Hurrah!
So with the summer travel season beginning, demand is going to drive prices up even more. That's what I'm saying.
All
and
right.
In spite of rising prices...
I got news for you. For anybody that lives in a major metropolitan area, the summer driving season...
Right.
Isn't driving season now year-round?
Year.
Really?
Yeah.
The summer driving season.
I think they're going on that jive thing that America still gets in our station wagon that has wood panels on the
That's
side.
That's right.
Drive to, you know, to Disney World over the summer.
The summer driving season is BS created by the oil companies so they can raise gas prices.
You know, here's a good example for this area. Everybody driving back and forth to the beach every weekend. They do that in the summer. They don't do that in the winter. So that's where a lot of that comes from.
Well, F the oil companies.
That's right. Good for you, Mike. And the Canadian hunters.
Don't forget
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Take your motor car out of the barn. Get ready for the driving season.
That's right. Put on your cap. In spite of rising prices, we are buying more gas, not less. One reason, a lot of us live farther from work than we used to. But industry experts are starting to wonder that if consumers don't blink at $3 a gallon, maybe they won't at $4. They say it may soon cost $130 to gas up an Expedition and $50 for a Prius.
Well, as we have discussed ad nauseum on the show, on the occasions when we really do talk about this, what does it cost over in Europe? They've been dealing with $6 a gallon forever, which is why they got those tiny, ridiculous little cars and why people don't go anywhere.
And part of what we're saying, here's what you're saying, and that is that Americans seem to be okay with it.
And most of those cars smell like B.O.
All of them. And in Europe, but the thing in Europe is you can drive from one end of the continent to another on half a tank.
True.
It's smaller.
From New Jersey.
That's right.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Doesn't seem likely, but if Hillary was to be elected president, how would Bill occupy his time as...
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
Somebody give me a C.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this house.
I have the answer. It's easy.
What is it, Bill?
Jason Poon.
I mean, anytime you mention the C word...
You may be on the right track. Hillary says she plans to send Bill, if elected, she plans to send Bill on a very long trip.
Listen, all kidding aside, tell us the story now. And I just want to tell you, I think this is brilliant strategy.
It is.
On her part.
Really?
Really, it is.
It
really.
Is, on several levels. In a campaign appearance on Saturday, Clinton said that if elected, she'd make Bill a roaming ambassador to the world. Nobody roams better. Hillary says our image overseas has never been worse and that nobody's more qualified than Bill to fix that.
And let's face it, everybody in the world loves this guy.
Mm-hmm. And you know he... I just thought of this right now. This is why it is brilliant, because I have not been a Hillary lover. But, you know, it would be kind of like he's president again.
He's still running that.
It would be helpful.
And really, could you think of, at this point, a better PR person for America?
And good.
I mean, you do get her, you get him, don't you?
Right.
And good news, she says he's on board with this plan.
I'd love to travel.
Of course he is, just like you said, Mike. It's a chance to run things without running things.
Do I get to use my old plane?
He's going
to
be the new Karl Rove.
Yeah, well, sort of, yeah. I'm better looking, too. I've got a lot more than he has. Baldy.
Here's some fun IMUS news. CBS Radio, which owns this fine program, is suing a station in San Bernardino, California, for airing reruns of the Don Imus show.
Sorry.
Don Imus isn't making any new ones, so the reruns are all that's available. But those recordings are owned by CBS, and the Imus show, has been recalled in much the same way you'd recall Bad Dog.
Recalled.
CBS lawyers say KCAA and San Bernardino violated copyright laws by continuing to air the show even after it had been
CBS is trying to force them to put on the Rich Little show.
Well, good luck to them all.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
What's this? Well, it may just be the future of regular radio.
What?
A station in Dallas, owned by Clear Channel, has launched a music station with no commercials. Wait. Each hour on Classic Rock KZPS is sponsored by, for example, Southwest Airlines. And the DJ just mentions that conversationally from time to time. And the hits just keep on coming, without any commercial sets to drive people away.
Why pay more for satellite radio as regular radio turns digital and ditches the commercials?
As someone who has satellite radio, I would tell you that on many channels on XM, they're already doing that.
I know, yeah.
A lot of times, you know, I live like on 7 and 6, the oldies channels.
Right.
But if you go up to 22, 23, somewhere like that,
XM,
a lot of times you'll hear, you know, this hour of XM music, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it might be the future of radio advertising, really. And that's great, because then people don't have to go away during commercials.
Mm-hmm. But how are we going to go to the bathroom, then?
That doesn't matter. Joe will be in there clogging it up.
I mean, we got six guys in one commode, and again, that bathroom has been seriously busy. Busier than Rich Little's agent's phone today.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
The bathroom has been compromised today. Now, most of us don't use the email machine known as a BlackBerry. Late last week, the CrackBerry system...
This is Robert the Mailman.
...crumbled and cracked.
Black.
Yes.
Black.
Well, the whole system went down last week. Millions of people, perhaps, were affected, and as it turns out, all because of a software update. Software updates, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I was thinking a while ago, before all this IMA stuff started, a funny joke. It was around the time we did our last BlackBerry thing with Marion Barry.
That's right, now.
If we ever did a BlackBerry Manilow.
Hey.
Oh, Mandy. You came and you took.
And I miss you today. Oh, Mandy.
BlackBerry Manilow.
It am a miracle. A true blue spectacle.
I write the songs that make the whole world sing.
The miracle am you.
Well, yes, the
BlackBerry Manilow.
BlackBerry system went down last week, and service owner RIM, or RIM as it's known,
RIM,
says, and I quote,
hey, they do a good job.
Pre-testing, they say, of the system proved to be insufficient. Duh. For people who don't use BlackBerries, the crash of that communication system was much like losing your dealer's phone number.
I live right out here. Move the water, everybody. Come right out here and move it.
Okay.
When the living is good, this is God's country.
Okay.
It's going to be the best water in the city. We're going to turn things around. The other thing, Sam.
Okay. All right. I think they're telling us to wrap, but congratulations on your victory here in Warren 8. That's Marion Barry back in D.C. government once again.
Kind of rushed me off the TV.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Ah, terrible crap.
Personally, what does tonight mean to you?
I hadn't thought about the question, but I guess it gives me another opportunity to serve.
BlackBerry.
Yes, sir.
Why make the trip to Walmart when you can buy your ammunition on eBay? That's our story when we return.
Oh, baby. Could this be the magic at last?
Are you saying that one of those Barry Manilow songs?
Yeah.
Ain't that a bitch? That's a bitch.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
Oh, Mandy. Oh, Lord.
Enthusiastic and reverent. Don and Mike.
It's a long intro.
All I can say is,
what about the vagina?
I remember all my life.
Lovely.
That'd be a great game to play, just playing dirty tapes for songs like that.
Yeah. Nice gentle intros with foul things to talk over.
Love songs.
Oh, hold on a second.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC. I'll make it feel really good for you, hon. I'll be the best sex you will ever have. I carry a gun everywhere I go. I like rape.
I remember all my life.
He'd love that.
He didn't like that, did he?
No, I didn't like that at all.
The show, he didn't like that. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Well, it turns out the Virginia Tech killer bought some of his ammunition on eBay. Sheng Wei Zhou, which is how we're saying his name this week, also sold.
I thought it was Cho.
No, we've now learned that the correct pronunciation of CHO is Joe.
So it's Margaret Cho.
I guess so.
Not Margaret Cho.
I guess Joe.
Yeah, but she's always gone by Margaret Cho.
How are you doing, Joe?
And she's always gone by
hotter than balls. That's right. Well, Sheng Wei Zhou also sold things on eBay as well as buying his ammo there. He sold, for example, books with violent themes, tickets to Hokies games, and a calculator he had bought for a class he'd dropped. Joe was an English major. but he had a fine reputation on eBay with a rating of 98.5%.
Hey, Rob, bid with confidence.
I have 100%.
Just something they turned up as they examined what's now known as computer forensics.
So you have 100 point rating?
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Perfect. No complaints. This is what
we're going to take a shower, both of us.
Chris Hansen Show.
Buzz, did you see what he had bought most recently on eBay?
No, I didn't see.
He bought two lots. One was a large squeaking rubber duck, uh-huh. and one was a lot of 12 small rubber ducks.
Wow.
Kind of creepy. I don't know.
Weird.
That's what he bought. He bought rubber ducks.
Really?
Yeah. There's no joke there.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Thanks,
There's a joke here.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Oh, that's cold up there.
300.
It's cold. Three Canadian hunters.
Oh, I wanted that.
Hunters. One cold afternoon.
Hunters. Yeah. Now you know. I suck at. Oh, that guy from YouTube who gave out free hugs to strangers on the streets of New York. What's he up to? Well, now Ryan Fitzgerald has put up his phone number.
And Gerald Fitzryan.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You might be. Irish or Italian, I can't tell. Ryan Fitzgerald, if you call him, he'll pick up his T-Mobile cell if he isn't already on the
Ryan
phone.
Ryan Fitzgerald.
You know, as bad as that Canadian, that's a good old one that I still like. Uh-huh. It's Patrick Fitzgerald and Gerald Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but it works with the other way.
It does. Fitzryan works.
Our next guest is originally from Bangor, Illinois. He enjoys cold beer and hot music. He says that he and his mom don't see eye to eye on his love life. And he claims that his job has cost him several relationships. Please welcome Robert Faggot.
Hey. Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Oh.
Anyway, this guy was giving out free hugs to people on the streets of New York. Anonymous, you know, strangers. And
hugs are great.
Exactly. He captured it on video. He put it on YouTube. It became semi-popular. Well, now he's put up his phone number, and people have started calling him. He picks up his phone if he isn't already talking to somebody else. He's gotten over 5,000 calls and text messages since he posted his number. The spiky-haired 20-year-old says he just wants to be there for anyone who needs to talk. I never met you, he says, but I do care. Ryan is unemployed, and he sees no reason to stop picking up the phone now. So
I don't know.
There he is.
Going to continue. He's right there. He's not sure what he's going to do next.
Is MySpace becoming more popular than porn? Combined with Facebook and other online communities, it could happen any day. Last year, porn led community sites 13% to 9%.
What about the vagina?
Exactly. This year, it was porno 11, communities 10.
You have hair in your special place.
And don't forget, that guy sent me porno on Xbox Live.
Yes.
Do you think anybody's got the domain name of my bad space?
I don't know. I'll check.
Just a thought.
As experts point
out... Just a thought.
Here's the deal. Porn always leads us into new technologies, but then other stuff eventually takes over. So the overtaking of porn had to happen at some point. Of course, porn is still going strong in the workplace. From where you sit in your office, you may be able to see four computers. Just know that one of those four is chock full of porn. A study by some company called PixAlert says 25% of workplace computers have porn on them.
Right, Buzz.
In most cases, who could they be talking about?
I don't know, Buzz. Which could they be talking about?
Which of these four computers in this studio would have them?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Porn.
I'll share. In most cases, it's not enough to get you arrested, as Chris Rock says, just enough to get you bought. Half the pictures on these workplace computers either show a sex act or full frontal nudity. Exactly. A third of those were downloaded at work. 45% came through email, pardon the pun, and the rest were either scanned at the office or were brought from home. The survey says, however, that a lot of the porn that got into those work computers got there by accident.
Incredible!
Through emails and pop-ups that stay in your computer for several weeks.
How horny do you have to be to scan porno at work?
Yeah, that's tough.
I'm glad you asked, Rob.
Oh, okay, thanks, bud.
Finally, spring, when we finally start getting more reports of men exposing themselves in public. In Raleigh, North Carolina, a surprisingly decent-looking chap by the name of Kenneth showed up at a drive-thru while not wearing pants. So now he's facing indecent exposure charges.
Do you want special sauce with that?
He has his own.
There are these three hunters.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Yeah. This is not the best breakfast I've ever had.
Brad.
So Kenneth now facing indecent exposure charges. He says he thought he could get away with this since it was a drive-through dry cleaner. Kenneth's now out on $1,000 bond, and by out, I think you know what we mean. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That's it. We got to fly. All right, thanks to the busty Adrian Barbeau.
She was lovely.
She's nice. We'll have a link to her website on our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
And one of them said, these are elk tracks.
Jack Benny, I suck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.